ready for two guys who can handle the truth.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
But we can. Dave Palumbo, John Romano. RxMuscle.com presents Heavy Muscle Radio. Watch out, bro! This hour of Heavy Muscle Radio is brought to you by ALR Industries. Visit ALRIndustries.com.
Welcome to another episode of Heavy Muscle Radio. My name's Dave Palumbo, and I'm joined, as always, by my co-host and compatriot in crime, John Romano. It is January the 11th, 2010, and we are into 2010. 2 weeks now, John, and I got to tell you, I'm bored out of my freaking mind.
not even two weeks into the second decade of the new millennium, and you're
millennium or decade?
It's the end of the last decade of the new millennium.
Okay,
2010. But you're technically,
it's,
you know,
the beginning of the new millennium, wouldn't it be?
So it's the beginning of the second decade of the new millennium.
too much terminology, John. I think it almost sounds as complicated as my Blu-ray disc player. Now, I got to tell you my Blu-ray disc player story. I've never actually used it. I have it. I bought a new TV and they gave me a free Blu-ray disc player.
Right.
And I had played the, you know, it comes with some kind of a little like instruction DVD disc. So I knew it played and it worked because the guy who set it up, you know, showed me. And, you know, the whole Blu-ray thing is kind of confusing because you have a DVD player,
right?
And then you got another DVD player now. So I have two DVD players. The second playing these so-called Blu-ray discs,
right,
that I guess for a while they were debating which format to use, and then
Blu-ray came out recently. It's a much higher,
right? But I thought there was another version, and then they decided, all right, we're going to go with Blu-ray. It's like a higher resolution,
right, high-res DVD.
It looks like it's purely digital,
right?
From what I understand, at least in my small understanding of how this stuff works. Anyway, so you told me to get this movie, District 9.
Right?
You told me it was one of your favorite movies of all time. A matter of fact, so.
I thought it was a masterpiece.
Coming from John Romano, that's a very, you know, bold.
Cinematographically, I said.
Now he's qualified.
I said from an artistic standpoint, okay, it was a masterpiece.
All right, well, I heard a lot of other people liked it too, so I decided to rent it. So I went to Blockbuster yesterday, and I went in there and I looked, and to my surprise, they actually had copies of this thing, you know, which I thought was unusual. And I was going to buy it. If they didn't have copies, I said, you know what, I'll just buy the thing because John said it's a great movie. I want to watch it. And picked up a copy. And I was going to go rent it. And I said, you know what? They got a Blu-ray. They have a Blu-ray section in Blockbuster, and you could rent the Blu-ray version of the movie for the same price.
Wow.
And I figured, you know what? I've never used my Blu-ray player. This is a great opportunity. It probably looked beautiful. You told me it was cinematically spectacular.
Right.
I figured I want to see it on Blu-ray. So I pick up the Blu-ray disc. They actually had a copy, and I brought it up to the counter, and I went to rent it. And the guy said to me, very smugly, do you have a Blu-ray player? To which I answered, yes, I actually do. And I asked him, I said, do a lot of people rent these things and not realize that? Because I get, evidently, the Blu-ray disc does not play
A
regular player.
Right. Correct.
Which you think it should, but it doesn't. And he's like, well, so we have to ask because sometimes it happens. I said, oh, okay. So now I'm thinking this something, whenever I get these like these weird little vibes inside, I know something's going wrong. He's like, well, if you didn't have a Blu-ray display, you just bring it back and we'll swap it out. So I go home, I make dinner. You know, I'm relaxing and I'm going to watch the movie around midnight. About 11:30, I decide I'm going to watch it. Uh-huh. I put the disc in to my Blu-ray player, which I guess the Blu-ray player has to load, and it there's a whole process. It's not like a regular DVD.
Right.
And the thing's not working. It won't get past the first 14 seconds.
No.
Yeah. So I'm like, there must be something wrong. I'm like cleaning the disc. You know, I'm pushing buttons. Now I go back and say, you know what, maybe I screwed up. So I go and get the Blu-ray disc instruction disc that came with it, and I put it in and I start watching it.
Right.
And I go to the part that says, you know, troubleshooting.
Uh-huh.
And it's telling me how to troubleshoot if the disc player is not working. Now I'm thinking to myself, how the fuck are you going to troubleshoot if the disc player is not working if you can't put the disc into the player and make it work?
Right.
So what's the purpose of putting the troubleshooting manual on the disc itself, on the Blu-ray disc?
Well clearly, if you were actually watching that segment of the Blu-ray disc, there was nothing wrong with your player.
Right, exactly. But my point is, if there was something wrong with the player, you would never be able to get this information because you couldn't get the disc to go.
Well, the theory is that you read the troubleshooting part before you have any problems. It's when you first, you know, the first time you set it up, you watch that disc.
No, but most of the troubleshooting problem has to do with setting the thing up. Do you understand the irony here?
Yeah.
So now I know that there's no way I'm watching this tonight. I know that there's no solution. So I go back and I say, maybe my computer plays a Blu-ray. I put it in there. It doesn't work.
Right.
Needless to say, I never saw the movie yesterday. I left that one important part. It was 11:45. And this doesn't Blockbuster close at midnight?
Midnight, yeah.
I think I can get there. I had 10 minutes to go. I drove my car so fast to Blockbuster. I didn't stop at one stop sign. I got there in like 3 minutes and it was already closed.
Oh, dude, that's horrible.
So I never saw District 9. I'm going to have to wait till tonight. I'm going to have to swap out a regular copy. I'm not going for another Blu-ray.
No, I think you should still try it.
Try what?
The Blu-ray looks awesome.
Yeah, but I obviously have a defective either Blu-ray player or a Blu-ray disc. Well, I don't know.
Get both and then at least, you know.
I'm sure I won't even be able to notice the difference from Blu-ray to regular ray or whatever.
Well, you know, it's interesting. We're in that transition phase when we transitioned from tape, you know,
yeah.
to VHS. DVDs. Remember sure. VHS to DVD? And then there was actually even a period of time where they had a Sony Betamax section.
Yeah, I remember
that. Okay, and a VHS section. Then Beta disappeared, except for in the industry. And then remember Blockbuster used to have a section with the tape and then the section with the DVDs. And then gradually they weeded out the tapes so there was no tapes, now only DVDs. Now the same thing's happening with Blu-ray.
Oh, is that what's going to happen? Yeah, get rid of all the regular ones?
Exactly. Eventually it's all going to be Blu-ray.
So everyone's going to need a Blu-ray player is what you're saying.
That's how these companies make money. They continually improve the technology while outdating the old technology so that you can't have a cross-platform.
Right. My father's going to lose his mind. My father still has the player where it plays DVD and VHS because he's still got all these VHS tapes and he still tapes things on the VHS. If they go to Blu-ray, he's going to forget about it. It's all over. We're going to have to retire him.
Oh, man.
Hopefully my father, if I have to explain to him what a Blu-ray player, tape player is, I mean, DVD player, it's going to be all over.
It's like the red stuff at the sushi bar.
Right. It's worse than the red stuff. It's bad enough that I can't even believe that he actually knows how to use the remote controls to actually turn the thing on, because that just goes to show you that, where there's necessity, you know, you can learn anything.
Sure.
But yeah, if I tell him about Blu-ray, it'll blow his mind. Yeah,
I would keep that from
him. It's like telling Max that there's no Santa Claus, you know?
Yeah, I would keep that from him.
All right. Well, let's talk a little bit. You know, we got this IFBB Phoenix Pro show coming up in a few weeks in February there. This is going to be the first pro show of the season.
Right.
Stryker Solomon is the promoter of this event. He's got every category you can think of. He's got fitness, figure, women's bodybuilding, men's bodybuilding. It's going to be a huge show. I'm looking forward to going out there. We got Troy Alves actually on the show a little later today, and that's his hometown there. Wow. So he's going to be the hometown favorite, I guess.
Yeah.
And, I've been talking about this on the boards, and the people have been talking about the Phoenix show. Now, we have a lot of fans, you know, in the Phoenix area.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if you're aware of that. And a couple of them are on our board.
Sally Ann.
Yeah, it was Sally Ann's from this trip. Yeah. But a couple others from the board volunteered. They wanted to take us out to dinner.
Wow.
Okay. And now we were offered either sushi dinner or... If you remember, we talked a little bit about this a few months ago. They have the Heart Attack Grill there. Do you even remember what we talked about that was?
Yeah.
The Heart Attack Grill, you get these crazy, like, quadruple bypass burgers.
It's like eight pounds
of meat on there.
Are we bringing Joel?
Joel will actually be there because we have a species booth.
Okay.
I don't know if after the last little venture out to J&R Steakhouse where Joel ate 76 ounces of steak, I think we ought to give his colon and his heart a little rest. Well, but
actually, this may be good for him because, you know, it'll give him another thing to look forward to and train for. He may be our secret weapon, you know, as far as, you know, food consumption, you know, contests go. We may be able to get him on the circuit, you know, and start winning money.
I think I want Joel to be around a little. I don't want him to die or anything like that, you know. But you know, in terms of this Heart Attack Grill, John, they sell.
Look at those things.
Not I just pulled it up on the thing. They sell Jolt Color there.
Oh my God.
They sell no filter cigarettes.
Lucky Strikes.
Yeah.
How many burgers are on that burger?
Well, they have this quadruple bypass burger is four, but it's like a pound
Holy
each thing.
Crap.
It's huge. Now, here's the kicker about this place. If you're 350 pounds or over, you eat for free. How great is this? How can you get a better enticement? Can you imagine size of the people who must be in that place?
Can you imagine showing up and only being like 348, you know, and not being able to get in?
I wonder if they must weigh in, I guess, right? They must weigh you in.
Now, why would they promote everything that is dietetically nefarious and dangerous? Jolt Cola, Lucky Strikes, and
Flatline Fries.
Flatline Fries, probably made with fried and grease, beef drippings.
Okay,
the hand that grease drips off the burgers. They probably fry the potatoes.
I wouldn't be
that.
Surprised.
And this and a 4 pound freaking jawbreaker. Like
I don't even know if it's. It looks like it's bigger than 4 pounds. It's got like
you, there's no. There would be you would. Blecky couldn't unhinge his jaw and get that thing around.
Definitely not. I'm thinking you and I could probably split the quadruple bypass burger.
That double one on top looks actually pretty good.
Yeah, probably two doubles would be good. You know, because I don't know if I. You'd have to eat the quadruple bypass with almost like a fork and knife.
Yeah, you couldn't eat that like a burger.
But I love the over 350 pounds thing. Can you imagine that? All the waitresses are dressed as nurses, by the way. There.
And the freaking heart is beating on the webpage.
It's a pretty interesting place. I think we're going to go there because...
Doesn't that just kind of bother you that a place like just flouts every...
It's obvious because you know what everyone's... Because you know what? Everyone's trying to be so healthy, John, that this is perfect.
It just goes the other way completely.
Right. If you want to be unhealthy, come to us. Look, we have ice cream stores, right, that just sell ice cream, the Stone Cold place.
Yeah,
you ever go to that place?
Cold Stone Cold Creamery. Stone? Yeah.
I mean, there's nothing probably more unhealthier than that, you know? So why can't you have a freaking heart attack grill place?
You know what? There's honesty in advertising because they're promoting it what it is. Mm-hmm. You know, if you go, it's obviously not a place you'd want to go every day.
No, definitely not.
Although some people would. But you know what? That looks like I love when I have a cheat meal. Those are the kinds of things I crave. I crave burgers. I crave pizza. I crave hot dogs. I crave, you know, Chinese food or the buffet. I mean, when I want to cheat, that's the kind of stuff. I'm not into, you know, cookies and you know, cake and shit.
Right.
Cookies I want and cream. Food.
And I'm definitely looking forward to that. Look, I can have sushi anytime I want out here. You don't have the heart attack. As a matter of fact, we might want to open up the Whack Pack Heart Attack Grill out here on Long Island. Maybe they have franchises. You know?
We'll start in the green room at the studio.
We'll make a little mini heart attack grill. You know,
we're gonna go there and eat one of those burgers.
Yeah. We're gonna definitely go out to eat. So I want to thank our fans there in
that's cool.
Phoenix.
That's gonna be fun.
Now there's a new website out, John. That I kind of caught my fancy, called beautifulpeople.com. Now, the reason it caught my fancy is because there was a story out that they kicked off 5,000 members, okay, after the holidays because they gain weight, these people. So, in other words, if you're fat and you gain a little fat around your waist, they don't want you on the site. So
do you have to like submit post-holiday photographs?
I don't know. I don't know exactly if this was a whole shtick thing. So, I went on the thing. And I signed up for beautifulpeople.com. Now, they have a process, okay? When you submit your images, you fill out whatever you got to fill out. But then you got to wait 48 hours for them to evaluate you.
Right.
Okay, and people start rating you. And I guess if they don't rate you high enough, then you get kicked off. Now, I don't think I've gone through the whole period yet where I've been completely evaluated. But so far, I'm not doing too well, I got to tell you. My ratings are not that high on there. So
Did you do competitive bodybuilding pictures?
What I tried to do is I tried to put like a competitive picture. Then I put like a picture where you can't really tell what my physique looks like. It's just like a headshot.
Right.
And then I put another picture. It was just like me and the dogs. So to show that so I kind of look normal, but obviously I don't because I'm very big, you know.
Right. And veiny and striated.
So I don't know, but you got to remember it's girls and guys rating you. So I don't know. You know, sometimes the guys may be intimidated. They may purposely put you down lower and then the women may put you a little higher. So I don't think I'm going to make the cut though. Wow. So yeah. Yeah, so this is...
How many pictures did you submit?
I uploaded 3 pictures.
Wow.
Just to see what happens. I don't think I'm going to make it. I'm telling you. I think I'm going to be kicked off. Yeah, I don't think I'm good looking
enough. Did it cost you anything?
No, it was free.
Oh.
It's a 48-hour window. I should find out by tomorrow, I guess. But I haven't found out that I've been not taken yet.
Now, the fact that let's say the worst happens and you get kicked off. Is this going to have some kind of... profound psychological effect on you?
No, I actually think that I think if I don't get kicked off, I will I'll be very disappointed. Actually, I'll be happier if I get kicked off because I have this old like thing, like I would never want to belong to a club that would have someone like me as a member anyway. So you know, just to quote Woody Allen, you know, I'm looking to get kicked off. If I don't, I'll know that it's a scam.
Wow.
So I think it's, this might be a scam just to get people to join this thing, because it's like kind of like, I guess, you know, I'm sure their business model is that they want advertisers on there.
So now, assuming you do make the cut,
right?
What happens then? Do you get to shop from the other members list and decide what ones you want to meet?
I don't know. Maybe you can interact with people on there.
So it's not a dating site.
Well, I mean, I guess it's kind of like a social network of beautiful people, so to speak. Okay, beautiful people,
but not beautiful people for, you know, for sale or anything like that.
No, it's not like a prostitution or anything site. Or
it's not dating. It's not.
Well, it could be dating. I mean, I mean, Facebook could be a dating site.
So you're talking social network like Facebook.
It's a social network that has to approve you for membership. That's the catch.
Now, how many members do they have?
I don't know. They said they kicked out 5,000 members, so I'm assuming. I have a feeling the whole thing's a scam. I think they're just starting up, and they wanted to make a whole big stink about it.
It's not exclusive.
I don't see, but it is worldwide. I wouldn't be surprised if they probably don't have a couple thousand members at this point. But I imagine after this article came out, a lot of people joined just to see what was going on, and they probably boosted their membership. Maybe we should come out with an article like that. If you don't have 20-inch arms or something like that, we kick you off, and you can't bench press
we'd have 7 people on our.
That's true.
Anywhere.
That's true.
I'm against that crap. I think everybody should have a chance, as long as you're being real.
Yeah.
I think everybody should have a chance to be, you know, interact and, you know, be seen and be heard. And, you know, not always. If you were going to take Stephen Hawking's at face value, look at where we'd be. I mean, true. You know, some people just, you know, their gifts are not on the outside. What are you going to do?
You're right. Well, there's a news story that I think is probably relevant to us speaking about, because, John, you are a breast man. You don't deny it. You like big fake boobs.
Big fake boobs.
Well,
yes.
Australian star hurdler.
Small nipples, though.
Small nipples.
Yeah, small areola. Like, right. The nipples that stick out with a small areola.
Right. Yeah. But we're just talking about the implants. We're not talking about the nipples.
I want to make everyone have a visual. Oh. You know, and if you're going to get the bags, I want the anatomical ones under the muscle. You know, and
silicone or saline.
You know, there is one that's both. There's an inside the implant. There's like another little ball that's silicone, and then there's saline around it.
What's the purpose of doing the silicone inside?
It gives it the right consistency.
You mean weight?
Feel and feel.
You can't feel it if you got water outside of it.
No, yeah, you can. Or maybe it's the other way around. Maybe it's water on the inside it's one or the other. It's either silicone inside and saline outside, or saline outside and inside and silicone outside.
They all feel fake, but you know, the silicone ones probably feel better.
But there's a certain like tautness to the skin that's perfect. You know,
I think what the key is, if the woman has some breast tissue to begin with, those always feel better.
Yeah. Yes, if they have absolutely nothing to begin with, well, they got to go in stages. Then they got to go, you know. Bigger.
Well, biggest. It means that if usually the best candidates are the women who had some breasts to begin with. They lost it because maybe they were working out or dieted, They stuck an implant in there, and now they have the shell of their normal boob over the implant.
Yes, those always look the best. Yes. Girls that had decent boobs to begin with who get them enhanced.
Right, and you don't see the ripples as much.
Oh, I know.
Now, this Australian star hurdler, Jana Pittman Rawlinson, you might have heard of her.
No.
She recently reversed her $13,000 breast implant surgery. Wow. She got them taken out.
Ew.
Because she felt that her coaches told her, and she felt she was letting her country down because she was not able to perform it at her peak level of athleticism because the boobs were not aerodynamic. Okay. So she actually decided, for the sake of Australia and for the sake of the upcoming Olympics, she's going to get them removed. She had them removed. What do you think about that, John?
I'm speechless. She had her breasts removed for her country.
Right. She does. She said she wouldn't rule out getting them back after she's done with her track career, but for now, she said, I'm taking them out so that I can be the best runner I can.
Well, you know what? If it works, good for her. I just think aerodynamics has all to do with positioning and...
I know. It's actually, you know, the next Olympics in London are not till 2012. She's got 2 years to go with no boobs.
Wow. All right, well, you know what? I bet her dating prospects change.
You think so? It might have been.
I bet they change.
Would you break up with the girl if she did that?
No.
You wouldn't. Okay, so you would.
As long as she promised to put him back.
Okay. All right, well, that's good. That's I think that's fair. Yeah, I agree. As long as she's going to put him back in there.
I could not have no breasts on my girl. I mean,
that's a requirement you have, yeah.
It's incomplete. I mean, you know, it's like, I don't know what the exact, equation would be for, you know, a man and a woman. But I mean, it's like you having no job, you know? I mean,
so that's like for you, that's a requirement of a woman. Before a job, you want her to have a fake rack.
No, I want her to have a job too. But I mean, she's got to, I mean, it's the complete, completes the package. How can you show up in a relationship and, you know, opposite another person with, you know, a big chunk of your body missing? But for some people it works. But for,
it's to me, the fact to have them put in and then remove, that's a little troubling, because I don't know how that's going to look after the skin has been stretched from the implant. It might look a little weird, like a little pancake.
Actually,
you know,
one of my exes had an infection in her implant, you know, shortly after she had them done, and when I met her, she had like small implants, and then she went to like,
they always do that.
Oh man, they were amazing. And then post-op, she had a problem, and one of them got infected. I think it was the her right one got infected, and they had to take it out.
Right,
that was a whole other story in the emergency room I don't want to go into. But after, you know, they took it out, they actually had to put a little drain in there, you know, to keep it, you know, to get till the infection went away, and that had to completely heal before they could go ahead and put the implant back in to match the other one. So, I mean, it was to see one right next to the other. I have a picture of this somewhere.
I'm sure to
see one right next to the other is especially how good the other one was.
Yeah,
it was really, man. To think that that's what the whole girl would look like without him, I would.
So what'd you have to do? Did you have to like put like a balloon in there or something like that when you were having sex with her and have her make her wear a bra or something like that?
No, she wore a t-shirt and only took one half of it off.
Oh boy, you probably tortured.
At least she still had sex with me. I mean, some girls would lock themselves in the closet and let you look at him.
That is true. Yeah. All right, well, from boobs to hummus, we move. All right. I don't know if you heard, John. Israel is the new champion of the hummus war against Lebanon. You know,
did not realize there was a war brewing over chickpeas.
Yes, there is a war. Chefs in the Israeli Arab town a few miles outside of Jerusalem, they whipped up a 4.5-ton batch of hummus to regain the Guinness Book World Records they lost 3 months ago to the Lebanese. The hummus, which is topped with I can't pronounce what it's topped with, but topped with oregano, essentially parsley and olive oil, was presented in a huge satellite dish at a festive happening outside of a restaurant there in Israel, and the exact amount of hummus in the dish was about 9,000 pounds of hummus. Can you believe this? I mean, you can look at the picture I'm showing you right now. You can see them dipping in.
Did they bring pita bread?
I don't know. I'm imagining they did. Otherwise, how would you eat it, right?
Yeah, you gotta have pita bread.
The man behind the effort, Jadot Ibrahim, is a restaurateur who became a millionaire after winning the lottery in the U.S. Can you believe this?
Get out of town.
He won a lottery, moved back to Israel, and opened up this restaurant. His restaurant is the Mecca for hummus lovers all over Israel.
Wow.
Personally, I find hummus disgusting. Now,
I love hummus.
You know, Colette obviously liked hummus, you know, when we were together, and that was her favorite thing. I don't like it personally because it comes up on me. I don't know how to outdo that. But for some reason, I love all kinds of beans and peas, and I don't like chickpeas for some reason. Yeah.
There was in LA, there was a place called Falafel King in Westwood.
I remember that, yeah.
Oh my God. They used to make falafels, which are also made out of chickpeas. And there was a way that one of the ways they served it was on within the pita bread with hummus, tahini, this yogurt dressing, the falafels. It was like this. It was almost impossible to eat. But it was, every bite was so good, man.
I can't eat. That's the one food, Greek, and that isn't hummus technically Greek?
I thought hummus was from
maybe
Morocco,
Middle Eastern. Maybe it is. Whatever it is, I can't eat that food. It kills me. Do they put garlic in there or something?
Yeah, garlic is what kills me. And olive oil. It's, oh my God.
Blackman would probably loves it. He loves that garlic and olive oil mixture.
Now, you know what? I want to stop right here a second. I am the one that routinely gets bashed on our boards for constantly bringing up Blackman.
Right.
And I want everyone to realize that the two times he was brought up tonight. Dave brought him up. I only brought him up once,
actually.
Actually, there was a time before. But see, we're so good at it, we don't even realize when we're doing it.
I only just mention him in passing. You usually, you know, go and scalp him or, you know.
You know how I am. Because it's like, you know what? It's like some of our forum leaders, you know, we enacted a new rule where you're not allowed to prod Derek Anthony.
Right.
If you're working for us, the idea is to keep the peace, not incite the hornet's nest.
Right.
Okay? So if you're a mod or a forum leader, you don't go with a stick and poke Derek Anthony. Because why? It's a bad move because we know what the outcome is going to be. Capital right. letters, screaming, cursing, you know, absolute, complete lunacy that's got to go into the pit. Yeah. Pandemonium. Okay? So you don't prod Derek Anthony. By the same token, you know, you should know what's going to happen before you enact it. If you incite a problem, you know, you're going to pay for it.
Speaking of Derek Anthony, Derek Anthony found his match. He sent me this.
I didn't see the picture. How is she?
Well, it's not even a picture. Oh, he posted a YouTube video of this chick that is like Derek. She basically just talks into the camera and she's like, yo, you haters, fuck you.
She's got tattoos,
yeah,
right?
She's got tattoos all over. She's like a pretty hot looking chick. Derek's in love with her.
Is he going to meet her?
I don't know. I told him he wants to get her to be the first guest on the Derek Anthony
show. They should
show.
Be co-hosts.
That's what I told him. But I don't think I think Derek's afraid.
I think
she's
agreeing
too much.
With that.
She's
his head shaking affirmatively in the background.
Jeff, can you imagine trying to keep those two fucking in line? That's a job I wouldn't wish on anyone. But yeah, but she's pretty funny. I don't know if you saw the video.
I think Jeff would be absent that day.
Yeah, probably.
But I didn't see get the picture up.
This chick is the female Derek Anthony. I'm telling you, I've never seen anything like it. She's got the same rhetoric that he does.
No,
haters, fuck you.
Haters, I'll
get
you. I live out east. I'm healthy.
She's got a vet. And I don't know how healthy she is either.
So where does she live? Is she from around here?
I don't know. I told Derek this. Her name's Julia Bond.
She's hot.
Yeah,
huge tits.
Yeah.
Derek will love her. Oh, no wonder he's in love with her.
She's like, haters. I don't care what you think about
me. That's Derek.
I know. It's the female. But sometimes you can't really date someone who's exactly like you. I think they hate each other's guts personally.
They would kill each other.
Right, because she would, you know, completely attack his weaknesses.
And he would do the same thing.
He would lose his mind, right. and then he'd call her a dumb cunt or something like
right.
that. And you know, that
she'd
would be the end of the
room.
Right.
You know,
so he's probably right. It would probably be a one-time guest on his show. That would be it. And then, you know, maybe she'd come.
I think they should get married.
That would be a very volatile relationship, John.
I wonder if their babies would be born with tattoos.
Probably, right? Can't you pass on some tattoos to the next generation? I think that's the new theory that just came out. That's what I heard, right?
An angry baby with tattoos.
Jeff,
could
you
imagine
that new theory that you could pass on tattoos to the next generation?
I actually saw it.
I think Max has a tattoo, doesn't he? Wasn't he born with a tattoo, John?
No,
he wasn't.
He has me color them in almost daily.
Did you see this new stupid vinegar diet that Megan Fox supposedly follows? Megan Fox, you know I don't like her. You know, we talked about it. Everyone thinks she's hot. I think she's got beautiful eyes and everything like that, but I know in person she's not as hot as she looks on the camera. She doesn't work out. She doesn't believe in working out.
Dad, we hate her already.
Yeah, you already know that by the time she's 35, she's going to look terrible. She'll probably be a plastic surgery mess.
Right.
But her new thing is she takes shots of straight vinegar. She thinks she's going to lose weight.
She drinks it.
Yeah, she drinks that. Wasn't that the old Kai Green diet?
Doesn't that totally upset the pH balance of your stomach?
You would think so. You would think so, right?
Well, I know an old wives' tale is like if you have, you know, indigestion or if you have like a real gassy stomach.
Apple cider vinegar. Yeah,
a little tablespoon or a teaspoon of vinegar, you know, makes that go away. And who's that lunatic on the infomercials with the books on how to get money out of the government?
I don't know.
Trudeau.
The guy who does the natural cures.
Yeah, the natural cures. He's got a whole chapter on vinegar in his book. It does everything.
Yeah, but they talk about like a tablespoon, though. You know, they don't. She's doing shots because she thinks she's going to lose weight. You know,
how could
crazy.
That possibly work? It can't.
It's so stupid. I sent the thing to Connolly. He sent me back the funniest fucking email of all time. It was so highfalutin. I can't even read it because you have to be have a PhD to understand the humor of what he's saying. But yeah, these people are just out of their freaking minds, you know. And you know, when you see celebrities pushing this stuff, they shouldn't even say it. They should just do it and keep quiet about it because it's just irresponsible in my mind.
You know, one of the best ones I saw was on Larry King. Suzanne Summers was on. And she just talked openly about taking DHEA and testosterone and growth hormone.
She's probably the smartest one of all.
She looks amazing. She's like 70 or late 60s, yeah. And she looks amazing. She's just absolutely amazing, and she openly advocates growth hormone,
bioidentical hormones.
She's like a hormone fanatic. She knows everything about it, and she's living proof.
And she obviously eats well, and we know that she's doing more than just the, what was that little thing she used to do?
The thigh cruncher thing?
Yeah, what was
it
called?
Now, let's see Megan Fox when she's Suzanne Summers' age.
When Megan Fox is 35, guaranteed she will not be hot.
She'll probably look like Suzanne Summers.
Unless you know what happens, sometimes these girls get older, they realize they start looking bad, and then they start exercising.
Then they start in.
Yeah. I always say if you start from when you're young, you'll probably become a neurotic female bodybuilder. Right. So that's probably not a good idea either.
But if you could steer away from the neuroticism of it and just be healthy, it'd be a great thing for girls to do.
You know, it's funny. We're so skewed and we're so fucked over, mentally. There's no way we can date a regular person after being entrenched in this industry. We like that hard body look with the fake boobs and the, that's the look that, it's hard for us to go to a regular person. Everyone's always telling me, you should date regular people out of the industry. But, that's not what we're attracted to. But by the same token, I don't know. I don't know if it's mentally very sound dating people from this industry.
That's a great point, Dave, because I really think that I've vacillated back and forth, but my experience in this industry is that the women I've dated from this industry are way too neurotic. They're just they all have some neurosis that is, whether it's mild or severe, it just gets in the way of everything, man. Yeah. It's just not, I don't know. I've never met, and not that I'm saying that I'm normal or anything, but I've never met a woman in our industry that turned out to be just an absolutely down home normal girl. So
I'm sure they're out there,
I just never ran across
one. It's hard to find a very nurturing person in this industry because it's such an ego driven industry.
Selfish pursuit. We see them all the time, the hottest women in this industry, and the thought never occurs to me to date them because I know what I'm in for. It's not going to be like, she's not going to be waking up in the morning asking me what I want for breakfast.
It's probably very, very small chance of that happening.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe the first time, but that's about it.
The first
day. And then afterwards, they want to know where the maid is.
And I'm not knocking that one at all. I think, look, if you can pull it off, if you're that top woman in the country or one of them in that group, and you can afford to shop yourself around and get like the best deal and get taken care of. But you know what? It's there's a lot of give and take in that situation, and people, these women are not too much on the given side.
Yeah, I think that's the problem. I think there's a lot of compromise necessary, and I think that you have to find someone who's willing to, make some sacrifices for the sake of the relationship working. And it's got to go both ways,
Absolutely.
It's got to go both ways. But if the guy is earning 90% of the income, I think that there has to be a slightly more sacrifice on the part of the other person. Just like if the woman were earning 90% of the income, I think the guy would have to make somewhat of a sacrifice. Don't you think?
Well, I don't want to ever discount. It depends.
If I'm
making 90% of the income and she's taking care of 90% of the other brain damage stuff that I can't stand doing, keeping records and paying bills and taking care of the house. Yeah, well, if she's not contributing and her contribution of 10% isn't even a contribution, it's self-preservation, then I think, it's a lopsided situation and it's doomed for failure from the beginning. Yeah, yeah. But if you got two teammates that are, working at it from both ends and they're both contributing, it may not be monetary, but if they're contributing effort and positive energy and doing stuff for you, then the money contingent is not a factor. Right. It's just that you're both, putting in equally. If one of you is a competitor, that's in some kind of, committed relationship, that's got to be a consideration that both people are involved in the decision-making process because one of the people is going to be at the short end of the stick.
Hmm. And I find also people in this industry tend to be a little less honest also about what goes on in their lives. They're I don't know if they're subconscious or consciously or unconsciously dishonest, but I think there's a lot of dishonesty in the industry.
A lot of deceit, absolutely,
and
for sure.
That obviously doesn't work in a relationship either.
No. Right? Now, what about, was there ever a point in your relationship when you were both getting ready for a show at the same time?
Yeah, just when we first started, and that was like super selfish. But you know, sometimes it works better if you're not living in the same house.
Yeah,
I only prepared for the same show with Colette when we were dating, when we weren't living in the same house, so it actually worked fine.
Right.
You know, because we weren't all in each other's face. I know people that do get ready at the same time, but I personally, I think it's a doom. It's a doom for your relationship, because someone's got to be the person who's willing to say, okay, I won't go to the gym today, or I'll miss doing something today. And if you don't, then what happens is there's a lot of fighting, I find.
Yeah, that's not going to happen. So. But, you know, unless you agree, look, I'm doing everything for me, you do everything for you. And then if you do it that way, then, you know you're not in for any help or any detraction either. If you're responsible for yourself. I think it's for competing couples, I just can't see how you could kind of integrate, you know, both preps.
Some people do it. I mean, Kirk DeFrancesco did it with his wife for the Nationals. Now, I didn't talk to him about how their relationship was but he works all day. So maybe, you know, maybe it did work for them. I don't know. I just find that, you know, everyone's, you know, relationship is dynamic and different according to, you know, what kind of people they are. But it is difficult.
Peter and Jessica Putnam.
True. They competed.
You know what I find, though, is in a lot of many times when you have a couple and both of them are competing, one tends to do really, really well and the other one doesn't.
That's a problem usually. Then there's jealousy a lot of times.
So. Exactly. That's a bad thing.
Well, Dr. Ruth would be proud. Dr. Phil would be proud. Maybe we should have a separate show for psychological counseling of different competitors that want to call in. Maybe they can call in with their significant other alone, and we can counsel them on air. You know, that might be a good show. It might be the highest rated show we do, John.
I think the opposite. I think we just pissed off a lot of people.
So. No, I don't think so. I think we were being honest. I wasn't talking specifically about anyone. I was just speaking in general. My general impressions of the entire industry. But I guarantee if we had a show like a Dr. Phil show for bodybuilders, we would have a guest list a mile long.
Well, you know, we have a studio to do it in.
That's
so
true.
We should seriously, you know, revamp some of the programming or add to for the next year.
We'll have to think about it. But for now, John, we got to go to commercial break. When we come back, we got our first guest.
All right.
This is Heavy Muscle Radio, only on RXMuscle.com. ALR Industries. ALR Industries products are backed by 3 decades of experience in the science and lifelong dedication to bodybuilding from its founder, Arthur L. Ray. In 2001, ALR Industries was created to give the hardcore bodybuilder the edge you need to build the perfect beast. Hyperdrive 3.0 is a synergistic blend of fat-burning herbs which yields the most potent legally available formula on the market today. Hyperdrive 3.0 will burn fat, control your appetite, improve your mood and focus, and give you an energy boost you've never experienced. Restore blocks estrogen, enhances libido, and optimizes free testosterone. You'll be stronger, recover faster, and build muscle like never before. Then, fuel your workouts with the great-tasting and energy-enhancing Hyper Shot. Hyper Shot will boost your athletic performance to new levels, allowing you to train harder, improve your endurance, and get the most out of your time in the gym. Whining is not an option for those who refuse to accept mediocrity. Visit ALRIndustries.com today. When you hit the gym, you set in motion a fundamental set of molecular activation signals and cellular growth mechanisms that deliver your desired gains in mass and strength. The magnitude of those processes, as well as how efficiently your muscles recover force production, can dramatically affect your net progress in a training cycle. Progenics protein supplements interact precisely and powerfully to amplify these pathways to produce enhanced growth responses of 100% or more compared to conventional whey protein sources. And they facilitate full recovery of force production in just 6 hours following the most grueling workout, allowing you to train harder, more frequently, for more dramatic gains. Experience the exclusive metabolic advantage available from Nature's Toolbox and Dr. Scott Connolly, renowned pioneer in applied dairy science and inventor of the original Metrex product. Go to ProgenicsSRG.com and use the code NBR801 to get 10% off the purchase of any single Progenics product.
When the world crumbles around you, will you be ready to fight back? Brutal Alchemy Performance Nutrition's unique line of supplements will help you win the war in the gym. Ancient Strength is a unique blend of three creatine esters which will infuse you with the ancient strength needed for the battle at hand. Isolation is a pure whey protein isolate that provides 26 grams of protein in every 29 gram scoop. Attack NO2 is Brutal Alchemy's nitric oxide booster that will increase your pumps and performance. After your battle in the gym, it's time for Onslaught. Brutal Alchemy's comprehensive post-workout drink, providing everything you need to suffuse your muscles, joints, and body with the components to heal, grow stronger, and return to the fray. And when it's time to conquer in the bedroom, you'll need Forged Steel, Brutal Alchemy's male enhancement product. Lead the charge to BrutalAlchemy.com to obtain the essential elements of your brutal transformation. Brutal Alchemy. It's better to be a member of the Horde than to be destroyed by it. RxMuscle.com introduces the cheapest and fastest growing discount supplement store on the net. DiscountSupplements.com. DiscountSupplements.com not only has the best prices on all of the industry's most popular products, but they also offer next day delivery for just $7.99. You heard right. For a flat fee of just $7.99, most orders arrive the next day at a price that simply cannot be beat. As a matter of fact, their prices and service are so good, we made them the official store for RxMuscle.com. If you haven't visited DiscountSupplements.com, what are you waiting for? Visit DiscountSupplements.com today. Plasmatic is the next generation of nitric oxide amplifiers. Plasmatic contains the clinically proven glycocarn and other exclusive cofactors to give you a better pump, extreme vascularity, and aid in both performance and recovery. Plasmatic is the only next generation nitric oxide amplifier that contains no L-arginine. Plasmatic's proprietary blend is manufactured using a state-of-the-art liquid capsule technology and lipomatic delivery. See Plasmatic today at your local vitamin shop or call us now at 866-GET-EST-1 or visit us on the web at estnutrition.com. Plasmatic, results guaranteed. German American Technologies. Compete harder with GAT supplements. Need energy? Gotta lose the fat? Jet Fuel is the answer. Want to build muscle? Use Testogen to ramp up testosterone and start adding the size. How about some muscle exploding pumps and an enhanced training experience? You gotta get your hands on some Jet Fuel. Jet Fuel, GAT's newest nitric oxide training supplement that's guaranteed to work the second you try it. Join the team. Visit German American Technologies website now at TeamGAT.com. That's TeamGAT.com. German American Technologies. Compete harder. TeamGAT.com.
Who are the Iron Sirens? The heroes. Susie Curry. Adela Garcia. Jenny Lynn. Crystal Richardson. Who are the Dark Divas? Gina Aliotti as Diva X. Jen Gates as Shade. Liza Kamstra as Black Lotus. Sonia Gonzalez as Raptress. And their story is told only in Iron Sirens. Iron Sirens is a one-of-a-kind limited edition comic book series and is the brainchild of J.M. Mannion. Order your copy of Iron Sirens today before they're gone. Visit IronSirensComics.com. That's IronSirensComics.com to get your copy of Iron Sirens. Iron Sirens. Iron
Sirens. RxMuscle.com. Now you have a place to turn when you want the truth on bodybuilding, diet, and exercise. Up-to-the-minute news and more. Visit the RxMuscle.com forums featuring celebrity Q&As with IFBB professional athletes, top amateurs, and the brightest minds in the industry. Listen to our weekly radio shows, including Heavy Muscle Radio, Muscle Girls Inc., After Hours, and more. Contest coverage, videos, even our own social networking site, RX Muscle Place. Visit RxMuscle.com.
Heavy Muscle Radio.
Hey, this is the Game, Triple H from the WWE. You're listening to Heavy Muscle Radio with John Romano and Dave Palumbo.
This hour of Heavy Muscle Radio is brought to you by Progenix. Visit ProgenixSRG.com.
All right, our next guest is the 2009 Orlando Europa champion. He's also over 40 and still seems to have his best years ahead of him. He keeps getting better and better. He'll be contesting the upcoming IFBB Phoenix Pro Show right in his own backyard at the end of this month. And I'd like to welcome back to the show, Troy Alves.
What's up, fellas? Glad to be back. Appreciate the nice intro, Dave.
Thanks, Troy. Now, let's get right to it. If you had to sum up 2009 in terms of success as an IFBB pro, how would you rate your year?
I'd say like a 9, you know, based on the comeback I made.
I'd say so.
From being able to really be able to walk, ready to walk out the door after that miserable showing at the Ironman, and then to regroup and get it together and come back at, and pull off my best look at that point at the Europa, I was pretty proud.
Well, I'd say so. That was probably, you know, the comeback of the year, because I don't think anyone expected you, much less to look your best, much less to win a show.
No, exactly. I don't think anybody except for Chris and I knew what I was capable of doing. And that's kind of like, I kind of like that in a way, to be the underdog and no one really expects me to produce. And then it just fires me up to work that much harder and just to kind of shock people each and every time I go out on stage now.
Now, that obviously had to be your most proud accomplishment of 2009. What would you say was your biggest regret or low point to 2009?
Oh, by far the Ironman, you know, because of just the way I mentally approached that show, and I just, like, I don't know who I thought I was, that I can just prepare 6 weeks for a professional show. I was like, I'm really upset with the way my thinking was, but I guess that's a good thing because it woke me up big time, though.
I'm not gonna say I told you so, but I'm gonna say I told you so. Do you remember we were talking a little bit at the beginning of the year? I said I think you need a little more time for that show.
And, you did. You're 100% accurate too. If I wouldn't have did that show, I don't think I would have made the comeback I did. To be honest with you,
that's true. It was a means to an end.
Probably had to reach a low. He had to reach a low point before he could
hit bottom.
He had hit bottom.
I think the Atlantic City was my best showing, though, of the year.
Yeah, for sure.
It probably was, and you didn't even do as well as you should have. So go figure that one out.
I know. But go ahead. I'm sorry, fellas. You lead the way.
Well, a minute ago, you mentioned Chris Aceto. Are you going to be working with him for the 2010 season?
We're two peas in a pod. You know, we just click. We just get it. Him and I just know each other well, and he knows what my body does, and I know what his mind does, and we're click really well together.
Yeah, you seem to have together brought out the best in you. So I would imagine then you're going forward together in the 2010 season. What's the strategy for the upcoming Phoenix show next month?
I think just to improve on what we've done. I think, for one, I stayed in shape after the show because I realize now that that's the key for me to get better and better in the glutes and hamstrings areas, not allow myself to put on that extra weight, which I never really got sloppy, but when I did gain weight, I always tend to gain a little bit of body fat in the one particular area, in the glute and hamstrings, so I can't allow myself to put that extra weight on anymore. So anyway, without doing that, Chris and I still train super hard during the off season, and then I truly believe that this show, I'm going to be able to bring this just as good a condition, if not better. But I think you're just going to see a more dense look than I've ever brought to the stage before. I think we'll still have the aesthetics and the shape will still be good, but I think I'll have more dense muscle, which I'm pretty proud of right now on where I'm at.
Do you think that's due to the fact that maybe you trained continuously the whole year through? Because I remember when you started last year, you kind of were starting you were smaller than you normally had been. You took some time off. You think that's detrimental to bodybuilding to go backwards and then try to catch up again?
I really do. You know, it's a learning process that you go through as a bodybuilder and as a professional in general. I think that I'm glad I got it towards the end, but at least I'm getting it at the right time. By doing that, it keeps me focused in the gym. I get back in the training mode now, because obviously when you start right back up to the show, you're in good shape, and then you like what you see in the gym, and that inspires me to continue to train hard and not to lose that look, because it's motivating for me. So that alone, and that allowed me to be able to see my body and know what changes and what weaknesses I were having, and if I was making any solid improvements, because I was lean, and so anything that was happening was going to be real, the real deal. It was going to be real muscle that was changing, because there was no extra body fat. you know. So I think that overall, that's made a dramatic difference in my approach and in my body changing each and every show.
You finally now have the home field advantage. You're not going anywhere. The show's right in your backyard. Yeah. That's got to be a if nothing else, a great psychological factor.
Oh my God! I think some people would be like bothered by that, but not me. I look forward to it because I like, you know, yeah, I get, I'm going to be on my home turf, and everybody's going to be expecting something. But that's what I thrive on. You know, I want to. That makes me more motivated to work that much harder. I want to prove not only to people that believe in me and the people from Arizona, but I want to prove to myself that I can do it and do it in front of my home crowd. And so I've never been this, I mean, I'm always motivated, but now it's like, I want to just do it so bad in front of my crowd and win the first show here in Arizona.
And then the entire hassle of traveling, taking a plane, bringing your food, the hotel nightmare, that's all not even irrelevant.
Oh, night and day. I mean, it's such a blessing. I can't tell you how excited I am about this. You know, that's why I think everything's just flowing into place. And, you know, with my preparation has been so good. And I think even you and John will be a little bit surprised on what I bring to the stage again. You know, I think that, you know, people say that all the time, and I know I've said it in the past, but now with the way I've changed and the way I approach each and every show, I can actually tell that I'm going to be different for a show. And I think it's, you know, it's just going to be, I think what you guys are going to see is just a more, like I said before, a more muscular aesthetic physique.
Is your weight going to be higher? Do you think you'll weigh more?
I think so. I don't like to get on the scale, but my roommate and my girl, they both weighed me, and they said, Troy, I think you're going to be shocked at the weight that you are and the condition that you're in right now. You've never been this way ever before, and that surprised me because I actually had gained a few pounds and got leaner. And they said it's the heaviest you've ever been at this stage by far. So I guess I'm going to be bigger. It's, you know, when you look at yourself all the time, it's hard for you to tell. You know, I just can't tell. I know I'm getting in shape, and I know I feel fuller, but it's hard to tell that the scale is any different. But they said that the scale is quite a bit different.
Really? Okay. Well, and let me ask you one more question. Who do you see as your biggest competitor in this show going into it?
To be honest, I don't even know who's doing it. I just heard of Melvin doing it, and I think I know of Chris Cormier coming back. I don't know anybody else doing it, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I haven't heard an update on the competitor list myself, so this could be, you know, you surprised everyone at the first show last year. Well, not really the first show, but one of the shows that no one really was talking about, Orlando show. You might be the king of these shows that no one really mentions too much about, but it's always good to start off the year with a win. If you can do that, I'm sure that would give you tremendous momentum.
Oh yeah, that's my goal. I would love to be able to win this show and have a little edge going into the Arnold and just, you know, bring a good package and have an opportunity to compete at the Arnold, to be next to the so-called guys that are the favorites for the show. Right. You know, that's all you want as an athlete, is just to give them a chance, an opportunity to compete. And if you don't do well, so be it, but at least you had your chance. And that's all I want.
That's a very wise sounding philosophy. And I wonder if it has anything to do with the fact that you're a grandfather.
Oh, it's amazing how much you settle down as you become a grandfather, and where life takes you. Nothing seems to bother you anymore, and you're just a little bit more at ease about things, and I keep everything in perspective, and I'm just pretty relaxed right now.
You realize you are probably, you probably have the greatest physique of any grandfather alive.
That's a pretty good compliment.
Can you imagine that? I mean, that's, we need to have a, you know, formal, you know, testament to that fact.
We should probably have a contest we should hold.
Yeah, man. I mean, come on, dude. That's like, you gotta take your, when your grandchildren see the pictures, they're gonna freak out, man.
I never looked at it that way, but that's a great accomplishment right there, to think of something like that. It's like the best grandfather in the history of the sport. Isn't it?
although when Flex Wheeler was competing, was he a grandfather, John? I don't know, or he just became one, I think, recently.
Just become,
I think Troy is better.
I think Troy's got the category nailed down.
All right.
And I don't think it's just in this industry. I think we're talking about out of all 6 billion people on the planet.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing, yeah, if you think about it. Unless there's some guy like in Africa running around that we don't know about.
There may be, but, you know, to our knowledge, let's put it that way.
Exactly.
Well, Troy, go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead.
Did you guys get a chance? I got to send you a video, Dave and John. I didn't get a chance to get you one.
I was going
to
bring that up, but I'll bring it up a little later. We'll talk a little bit about that because. But I want to ask you right now about your supplement store because I know it's relatively new. What is it? Within a year old still?
Yeah. It's a little over a year old, about a year and 5 months.
What's the name of it, and where's it located?
It's located in the heart of Glendale, Peoria area. It's on 83rd Avenue in Thunderbird, and it's called Troy Alves Pro Nutrition.
Now, is this a place where you are present, where you actually work during the day?
Yeah. I'm there Monday through Thursday. I'm there. We're open 8 hours. I'm there half of the day. I'm there 4 hours.
What 4 hours are usually there?
Monday, I open 10 to 2. Tuesday 2 to 6, Wednesday 10 to 2, Thursday 2 to 6.
Now, if people who are listening and live in your area and want to go by the store, do you give out advice? I mean, do you help advise people what supplements they should buy, how they should use them, how to, you know, lose weight, gain weight? Is that kind of stuff available?
Yeah, that's what I try to do. That's the thing I try to give to people is that I'll give them the knowledge of how to use the supplements and why they should use supplements. I don't just put a bunch of supplements in their face and say, here, take this, you know, and try to make a sale. I'm trying to do something based on their needs and their goals and what they're trying to accomplish. And then I'll try to talk to them a little bit about what they're doing with their workouts, what they're doing with their diet. So I think whether my price is a little higher or a little lower, I think what you get is just someone that's going to be caring about what you, how you, the products work for you.
Now, that's a tremendous service. A lot of people don't realize what you're doing. They got an IFBB pro probably in their own backyard right there. Okay. These are the people that are on the message boards. They're hiring gurus and coaches. They can go into your store anytime you're there and they can ask you all the questions they want. You probably just hang out there most of the day anyway. And they're going to not only walk away with the knowledge of how to use the stuff, but you know, you're going to tell them which supplements are best because you're selling everyone's line there, right?
Yes, sir.
All right, that's a great service.
Yeah, I'm not even, I don't discriminate with any lines at all. I think there's a lot of good lines out there, you know, so I just want people, if there's anything that they prefer, you know, I don't mind ordering it for them. If there is something that they have to have, then I'll order it for them.
That's great.
I'm not in particular with any brand. Say this is the only brand that you should use, by no means, because there's too many good products out there.
To me, that alone would make me shop at your store, just because to know that I can go in there and talk to Troy Alves and ask him questions, I wouldn't even care about an extra dollar or two because that information is invaluable.
I need you out here, Dave, because I want you people to realize that.
I told you on the phone the other day, you got to do a seminar out there. And then, you know, once every couple months, you do a Troy Alves free seminar and you let the people come to the store and hear you talk. And I guarantee you traffic will get crazy there.
Definitely.
That's what I'm going to do. I truly am going to take your advice on that. I might do something even right before this show.
We'll be there. We'll cover it if you want.
Yeah.
Oh, that'd be awesome. That would be awesome. I think I'll talk to you guys about setting that up.
All right, good.
Now, do you help train competitors in your area also?
No, I don't have time to do that because if I can't give them all of me, then I don't want to, you know, give them half of me. I just don't want to take their money and I, you know, can't watch them on a daily or, you know, even a weekly basis and really keep up with them. So I just, you know, if they want some consultation to talk on a weekly basis, I'll be glad to do that with them, you know, and just like advise them on a weekly basis. But it's hard for me to just put it in like and give them the whole time for like a 3 month prep and just because I want to be there, you know, I want to be there and know everything that they're doing. And I just don't have the time to do that.
What about for, you know, housewives and, you know, just regular people? Do you do diets for those people?
Oh, yeah, of course. That's, you know, I want the regular housewife to come in my store. I don't want them to think that it's a bodybuilding store by any means. You know, I want them to know that it's for everyone. You know, whether you're a housewife, whether you're an athlete, whether you're a bodybuilder, figure, whatever. I want to advise you on just the proper preparation for whatever your goals are.
Now, does everybody know you? You know where you are? Are you like a big name in town? People know who Troy Alves is?
I think so. I think I'm pretty popular here in the Valley. And I think back at the USA, when I won the USA, Lonnie Keeper said I was the loudest crowd he's ever seen root for somebody. And I got a feeling we're gonna do the same thing here at the this Arizona show. People are gonna be pretty surprised on how many people come in the show to actually move me on. It's gonna be pretty crazy.
Cool.
Did Dennis James ever move out there?
Yeah, he's been out here for a couple years now.
Oh, well, he's all right.
You guys,
I just ran into Marcus Haley too. Marcus Haley just moved out here, and
he left Melbourne. Florida.
Yeah, he left Florida, and I just heard Melvin's out here training, I think, with Dennis, trying to prepare for the Arizona show.
Oh, so you guys got a pretty big contingent out there.
Yeah, that's what I'm looking forward to the show. I think it's going to be a fun show. I don't think Marcus is doing it, but obviously we know Melvin's doing it, and Melvin's a great competitor. I love to compete against him, so that's going to be fun. And then we'll have a bunch of other guys. Obviously, we can't take anybody for granted. I learned that. You know, so I'm putting the work in, and I think it's going to be a good time.
Do you and DJ hang out?
Yeah, sometimes. We're both busy. You know, he's got his family. You know, he's got the wife and his daughter, and he's traveling so much. After the show, he was gone for, like, basically 2 months straight.
Oh, well, that's good. That's money.
He wasn't home at all. So we only got like a minute to hang out one day. We don't drink, but we just went and hung out at a restaurant for a little bit.
Well, why do you think everyone's moving out to Arizona? Is it because it's cheap out there and the weather's nice? I mean, what's that?
Come on, Dave. We don't get that ice cold weather.
You're right. I might have, with my shoulders, I might have to move out there too.
Thank God.
It's beautiful, 70 degrees right now. It's outstanding, you know, weather right now. You can train, you can run outside, you can do whatever outside all year round. Yeah, it gets hot in the summer, but you don't have to be outside. You know, you can go to the lake or wherever.
Air conditioning.
You're gonna be, you know, it's just nice. And then you're 1 hour away from L.A., 1 hour away from Vegas.
Oh, it's only 1 hour?
Yeah, 1 hour flight. 1 hour flight from Vegas to L.A.
That's cool. Yeah, that's not too bad. That's pretty convenient, actually.
That's what I love about it, because I don't want to live in that scene, but I like to go visit, and it's an easy visit.
Sure. Yeah. 1 hour to Vegas, too. That's pretty good, John.
And cheap, too.
Outstanding. Yeah, it's $100. Well, maybe $150. Yeah.
Wow. So all the strippers in Vegas live in Phoenix.
I think I'm moving.
Saw them on the plane. I saw them in the airport. I landed in Phoenix one time. I go, God, an awful lot of strippers in the airport. And I figured it out. They live in Phoenix, and they work in Vegas.
I'm going to retire. I think let's go retire there, John, when we're done.
I'm dumb there, man.
Now, Troy, you have a new DVD coming out, as you mentioned earlier. Give us the name of it and where it can be ordered.
It's called Resurrection, and it can be ordered on bodybuilding.com, Weeder, and I'm getting it done on my site, so they'll be able to get it off my site.
That's a good idea, to put it on your own site.
I know, I'm a knucklehead, man. I'm just trying to put that together.
Troy needs a publicist in the worst way.
He's busy there.
I do, really bad.
Now, where's my copy? I haven't got my copy yet.
Nor mine.
I'm going to send it to you. You guys can give me your address, and I'll send them out right away. They're 4 weeks out.
Now, did you wind up using any of the footage I sent you?
I think that, no, he didn't get a chance to get it in because
he tortured me for the footage, too. You're your guy, man.
I know. He said he was bugging you, and then he said that he was trying to wait it out, but he had to get it in by a certain date, and couldn't do it at that particular time, because of course we wanted that. That would have been great to have it on there.
Well, save it for the next one.
Yeah. What about a supplement sponsor? Did you get picked up yet?
No, that's what I'm looking for. You guys to put the word out for me.
Okay, well, consider the word out. Troy Alves is available. How can people get in touch with you for picking you up for product sponsorship, guest posings, whatever?
They can email me at troywalves@yahoo.com. And, I think I can represent somebody well. You know, you got a 43-year-old guy that's coming to his prime. I think that's a story in itself.
The oldest, hottest, bodied grandfather in the entire world. You could probably make money off of that right there.
we could probably get Troy a muscular development contract. You know what I'll do? I'll come out a day early. We'll shoot a lifestyle video with you, Troy. Right. And then I'll put it up on the site, and you'll probably have a contract within a week. So
there you go, Dave. That's what we're talking about. Let's get it going.
We'll just start talking you up and make believe you're the next big thing, and from our end. And then
he is. He's going to be the number one guy at Phoenix. dynamics there.
I think by, you know, harping on this, you know, your grandfather status, I think that's such a unique, you know, label for you to be able to wear. That's got to mean something to somebody. With
one of these longevity clinics should pick them up.
Yeah, man, or a supplement company, or anybody that's promoting, you know, health and fitness for guys over 40. Troy is like the walking, talking poster boy for that element.
I appreciate that, guys. That's what I wanted. Yeah, I would love to be able to talk to people about that. That's the one thing I've noticed, that I get a lot of people coming up and just telling me their inspiration when they're in their 40s. And I hear people say, well, I'm a little too old, and they're like 47. I was like, what do you mean? I'm 43. How are you too old? That doesn't mean anything. That's just a number. If you mentally say you're too old, then, of course, you're not going to get anywhere.
Exactly.
If you believe it, it will change.
You're right. Well, Troy, good luck next month. We're going to be there, and we're going to be in touch, and you'll keep us updated, have Chris keep posting those pictures on our boards, and I know the RX Muscle community is going to be rooting for you.
I appreciate it, guys. You guys have been the best, and thank you so much for all your support. I really appreciate it.
This is Heavy Muscle Radio, only on RXMuscle.com. ALR Industries. ALR Industries products are backed by 3 decades of experience in the science and lifelong dedication to bodybuilding from its founder, Arthur L. Ray. In 2001, ALR Industries was created to give the hardcore bodybuilder the edge you need to build the perfect beast. Hyperdrive 3.0 is a synergistic blend of fat-burning herbs which yields the most potent legally available formula on the market today. Hyperdrive 3.0 will burn fat, control your appetite, improve your mood and focus, and give you an energy boost you've never experienced. Restore blocks estrogen, enhances libido, and optimizes free testosterone. You'll be stronger, recover faster, and build muscle like never before. Then, fuel your workouts with the great-tasting and energy-enhancing Hyper Shot. Hyper Shot will boost your athletic performance to new levels, allowing you to train harder, improve your endurance, and get the most out of your time in the gym. Whining is not an option for those who refuse to accept mediocrity. Visit ALRIndustries.com today.
When you hit the gym, you set in motion a fundamental set of molecular activation signals and cellular growth mechanisms that deliver your desired gains in mass and strength. The magnitude of those processes, as well as how efficiently your muscles recover force production, can dramatically affect your net progress in a training cycle. Progenics protein supplements interact precisely and powerfully to amplify these pathways to produce enhanced growth responses of 100% or more compared to conventional whey protein sources. And they facilitate full recovery of force production in just 6 hours following the most grueling workout, allowing you to train harder, more frequently, for more dramatic gains. Experience the exclusive metabolic advantage available from Nature's Toolbox and Dr. Scott Connolly, renowned pioneer in applied dairy science and inventor of the original Metrex product. Go to ProgenicsSRG.com and use the code NBR801 to get 10% off the purchase of any single Progenics product.
When the world crumbles around you, will you be ready to fight back? Brutal Alchemy Performance Nutrition's unique line of supplements will help you win the war in the gym. Ancient Strength is a unique blend of 3 creatine esters which will infuse you with the ancient strength needed for the battle at hand. Isolation is a pure whey protein isolate that provides 26 grams of protein in every 29-gram scoop. Attack NO2 is Brutal Alchemy's nitric oxide booster that will increase your pumps and performance. After your battle in the gym, it's time for Onslaught. Brutal Alchemy's comprehensive post-workout drink, providing everything you need to suffuse your muscles, joints, and body with the components to heal, grow stronger, and return to the fray. And when it's time to conquer in the bedroom, you'll need Forged Steel, Brutal Alchemy's male enhancement product. Lead the charge to BrutalAlchemy.com to obtain the essential elements of your brutal transformation. Brutal Alchemy. It's better to be a member of the Horde than to be destroyed by it. RxMuscle.com introduces the cheapest and fastest growing discount supplement store on the net, DiscountSupplements.com. DiscountSupplements.com not only has the best prices on all of the industry's most popular products, but they also offer next day delivery for just $7.99. You heard right. For a flat fee of just $7.99, most orders arrive the next day at a price that simply cannot be beat. As a matter of fact, their prices and service are so good, we made them the official store for RxMuscle.com. If you haven't visited DiscountSupplements.com, what are you waiting for? Visit DiscountSupplements.com today.
Plasmatic is the next generation of nitric oxide amplifiers. Plasmatic contains the clinically proven glycocarn and other exclusive cofactors to give you a better pump, extreme vascularity, and aid in both performance and recovery. Plasmatic is the only next generation nitric oxide amplifier that contains no L-arginine. Plasmatic's proprietary blend is manufactured using a state-of-the-art liquid capsule technology and lipomatic delivery. See Plasmatic today at your local vitamin shop or call us now at 866-GET-EST-1 or visit us on the web at estnutrition.com. Plasmatic, results guaranteed. German American Technologies. Compete harder with GAT supplements. Need energy? Gotta lose the fat? Jet fuel is the answer. Want to build muscle? Use Testogen to ramp up testosterone and start adding the size. How about some muscle exploding pumps and an enhanced training experience? You gotta get your hands on some Jet Fuse. Jet Fuse. GAT's newest nitric oxide training supplement that's guaranteed to work the second you try it. Join the team. Visit German American Technologies website now at TeamGAT.com. That's TeamGAT.com. German American Technologies. Compete harder. TeamGAT.com.
Who are the Iron Sirens? The heroes. Susie Curry. Adela Garcia. Jenny Lynn. Crystal Richardson. Who are the Dark Divas? Gina Aliotti as Diva X. Jen Gates as Shade. Liza Kamstra as Black Lotus. Sonia Gonzalez as Raptress. And their story is told only in Iron Sirens. Iron Sirens is a one-of-a-kind limited edition comic book series and is the brainchild of J.M. Mannion. Order your copy of Iron Sirens today before they're gone. Visit IronSirensComics.com. That's IronSirensComics.com to get your copy of Iron Sirens. Iron Sirens. Iron Sirens.
RxMuscle.com. Now you have a place to turn when you want the truth on bodybuilding, diet, and exercise, up-to-the-minute news, and more. Visit the RxMuscle.com forums featuring celebrity Q&As with IFBB professional athletes, top amateurs, and the brightest minds in the industry. Listen to our weekly radio shows, including Heavy Muscle Radio, Muscle Girls Inc., After Hours, and more. Contest coverage, videos, even our own social networking site, RX Muscle Place. Visit RxMuscle.com.
Heavy Muscle Radio.
Hi, this is Lou Ferrigno, the Incredible Hulk. You are listening to Heavy Muscle Radio with John Romano and Dave Colombo. And keep listening, the best show on the air.
This hour of Heavy Muscle Radio is brought to you by Progenix. Visit ProgenixSRG.com.
All right, our next guest is one of the most likable guys in all of bodybuilding. He placed second in the light heavyweight class of the USA Championships three times. And recently, he's become one of the top DJs in New York City. He's making a comeback in 2010, and we have him here tonight, the one and only Rob. Robbie Lopez.
What's going on, guys? How are you?
What's up?
Hey, Robbie, man. You're a busy guy lately, huh?
Yeah, I try to keep busy, paying the bills, you know, stay above water.
Now, you know, it's funny because you've got to be one of the most appreciated and respected guys on the scene, probably for the last 15 years or so. Everyone likes you, and everyone always has something good to say about you. What do you think that, how'd that whole thing come about where you just kind of became like the go-to guy?
That's a good question. I mean, you know, with me, I just keep everything real. You know, what you see is what you get. I don't, you know, a lot of people get caught up in, you know, the little short success that they have, and they take that and get big heads and all that. So me, I just keep everything real. How did I become the go-to guy? Being out of the clubs, and I don't know if you remember back when they used to have the Night of Champions, and everybody used to always want to go out after that. So we'd all used to all migrate over to the Sound Factory,
yeah.
And then that was already my stopping ground. But then when pros started going there, so I met a lot of guys through Cormier. Actually, Chris Cormier, that's right. he started all of this. He was the one that started all of this. He's the one that actually got me out to go out to a club. And then, oh God, the rest is history.
Oh, yeah. So he's the one who made you who you are, huh?
Yeah, basically, yeah. You know what? I have to give credit to Cormier. Definitely him. No question about it.
He is so hardcore. I saw him one night. The night before the Olympia in Vegas, so, you know, partying in a club with his shirt off, you know.
before
the Olympia.
You know what? That's not a shocker. You know, if Chris could party on stage, he would probably do it on stage also.
He looked better when he would do that.
Yeah, he did. It was drier.
Yeah, well, you know what? All the the things that you do, you know, most of that stuff is it dehydrates. It's a good diuretic.
Yeah.
He had it down to a science, the whole peaking thing. He knew just how to peak. If he had a 2-day party, he'd peak even better.
Right.
Exactly. Everybody was depleted. He was partying.
He's a good guy, though. I like him. I like Chris.
Yeah, Chris Scott. He's an awesome person. Great guy.
Hey, you know, Robbie, 3 times runner up in the light heavyweight class at the USA Championships. That's a podium finish 3 times in a row. You knocked on that door so many times that it actually has your name on it. Why do you think? I mean, what was in the way? Why you're definitely pro caliber? Why do you think you never turned pro so far?
You know what? I wish I had an answer for that. I thought it should have been, you know, back when I placed the second of those 3 times. I don't know. I really wish I knew. I think the judges, what they want to see from me is have me coming a little bit fuller. Because the 1 year that I lost to Johnny Jackson, I remember I was off. I had first place votes throughout the prejudging, then came back, and that was the year that they decided to rejudge the top five class at night again. That was the first year they decided to do that, and you know what? And it's so weird. They stopped doing that after that year also. So they rejudged the top five on Saturday, and I ended up losing by 1 point because I came in flat on Saturday as opposed to the way I looked on Friday. And ended up losing the class that time. So
should have gone.
I don't know. I think they just want me to come in fuller. And you know, I haven't really been able to do that. I still don't even know how to peak yet.
Maybe you need to party the night before.
that's the problem. I come in fatter.
That makes them worse. That makes them worse.
Yeah, it'll make me. I'll come in skinnier.
Don't give him any more advice, John.
I was just saying maybe Chris Cormier could prep. Chris Cormier could prep you for your next.
This is serious. Serious. Chris Cormier. Chris Cormier walked into when he did the Olympia 1 year. He walked into this hotel room. I don't even know. He was hanging out with some girl I knew, and he looked so bad. This was 3 days before the show. He looked like a different person on stage. I don't know how he did it. He completely transformed himself in 3 days. Never seen anything to date like that in my life. I thought he was going to come in last place. He wound up like placing top five.
Wow.
Unbelievable. Okay. Only Chris.
He's a magician. He knows his body. He knows how
that's
he knows exactly what to do for
that's
his body.
Exactly it.
That's what it all boils down to, you know?
I don't know how healthy it is, but he knows what to do. But
yeah.
Now exactly. Robbie, during that time period where you were placing top top two at the USA, people regularly confuse you and Flex Wheel. You guys were like twins. Not only did you look alike, you actually sound alike.
Yeah, but I've been told that. It's a funny story, because me and Flex, we got to be pretty good close friends, you know, back then. And I, you know, when I was getting ready for the USA, I used to send him my pictures.
Right.
So I'm on the phone with him, and he was telling me, he goes, man, we got to do something about this. Like, what do you mean? What's the matter? He goes, I have your pictures on screen on the computer, and my kids are walking in, and they're going, Daddy, Daddy. And he said his mother-in-law, Madeline's mom, came in, walked in, and she saw his pictures on the screen, and she thought it was him on the screen. He's like, no, that's not me.
Oh.
It's freaky. We don't look like each other anymore. You know,
no.
He got skinny. I got bigger.
We
don't resemble each other anymore.
Back then, you looked exactly like. What ethnicity are you?
I'm Cuban and Panamanian.
Wow. Oh, yeah. See, that's interesting. Yeah, because you're not even Afro-American, right?
Well, I mean, technically, I'm sure somewhere down the line, yeah. But I mean, but as far as I know, back to my heritage, I'm Hispanic 100%. Speaking and everything.
Cool. So, hey, were you born in over there, or were you born here?
No, I was born here. Born here. My father was born in Cuba. My mom was born in Panama.
Oh, wow. Interesting. What an interesting combination.
Yeah. First generation. Yeah.
Now, thank God for them and great genetics.
Good genetics. That's right, man. Now, we already established the fact that you are the party guy in the IFBB because you always knew where it was. But but now, and rightfully, you're blaming that all on Chris Cormier, so we're going on record to say.
Of course.
You're always one of those guys that gets to the club like at 4 o'clock in the morning. How did you sort of establish that protocol?
Here's the thing. It all depends on. Well, I mean, I used to do that. I can't do that now. Number one, I'm married, so I'd be divorced.
Yeah.
No, but back then, the hottest club out was the Sound Factory. And Dave, you know the factory.
Yep.
You don't go to the factory at 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock,
no.
1. People started going. I mean, there was times I used to leave my house at 8 in the morning. and there would be a line outside the club. I mean, the place used to be mobbed.
I would get mobbed. There. I got there at 4 o'clock in the morning once, thinking I was like being cool, and there was no one there. which
yeah,
is
it's empty.
It took 3 hours before anyone. Robbie got there about 6 a.m, you know, and that's when it started getting busy.
Yeah, the peak time in that place was around 6-7 a.m.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you know when people some people go to other clubs and then they'd go there afterwards. You know, it was the after hours spot. But like me myself, I would just come straight from home, 5 a.m, getting in my car, getting ready to go to a club.
He'd sleep first.
Yeah, he'd sleep first. Yeah. Well, that made the most sense because it wasn't happening until later. But I partied at Sound Factory a few times, and it's, you know, we left at 11 a.m.
It fucks your whole day up. You're so fucked up after
you come out of that club and the sun's glaring like that.
They call it the walk of shame.
Walk of shame. You feel so terrible.
I always brought sunglasses. I was smart enough to do that.
It didn't matter if you had sunglasses or not. You feel like a real degenerate.
The worst part about that is that they right down the street from that, I think that's where they have the Intrepid boat. That boat.
Yeah.
So you have, you know, families, you know, guys parents taking it, walking their kids down the street, and hear all these, you know, drugged out, cracking looking people walking down the street. Oh, it was a mess.
I used to love like watching like 6 guys take the K train out of the hotel at like, you know, 8 a.m, holding on to each other's hips, trying to not fall down in front of the cops.
Well, I'll tell you one thing though. You have to be there. It was like the back, like maybe where I guess I could compare it to the days of Studio 54. People used to talk about that.
Yeah, probably.
If you weren't there at that time, like you could try telling people about this, and they won't really comprehend what it was really like. It was a great time.
Insane. It was an insane club, man.
I mean, have you gone to it since it's changed to Pasha?
Yeah, once or twice, but it's not the same. Definitely not the same. Just, number one, you know, it's not the same, people aren't there. I don't know, something about that era, that time, there's the vibe.
Yeah.
You know, I used to just go out, never called anybody up, just go get there 5, 6 a.m, and I knew there was about 15, 20 people, I mean, close friends, you know, that were going to be there. You know, you walk in, you guarantee you see Victor Martinez there, number one.
Yes.
I guarantee, and eating a meal in the back of the club somewhere. Victor was funny, though. You know, you're hanging out with Victor, so he disappears. You're like, where the hell did Victor go? And now it's like 8 a.m, 9 a.m, he's in the back just eating a sandwich. Where did he get food? I got it delivered, bro. Got to eat.
Yeah, I don't know how he did that. Food. You're right. Yeah, he did have food
delivered to the club.
You never missed
a meal.
That's the only reason why I would leave. I would leave because I was too hungry. I couldn't stand it anymore.
Give us a good Victor Martinez story.
Actually, that's probably the best part of Victor was that Victor would be just bopping around, disappear, and then, like I say, he wouldn't, you know, he could be doing whatever he was doing, but he was like, oh, gotta eat. Me and King Kamali Smith, I think at one of the Night of Champions that he emceed, he was like, Victor Martinez is the only one that could be at a club till 11 a.m, he goes and groans while he's there. And that's true, because Victor, you'd be right in front of your eyes, you'd be just swell up. But I'm like, how the hell does he do? Because he's eating.
Yeah, no, he wouldn't miss meals. Yeah, that was smart of him. Give us.
I'd walk in there weighing about, like, what, 230, leave there weighing about 180.
Yeah. That was death for you, those clubs, I know.
Oh,
probably didn't help your. Probably if you weren't doing all that partying, you probably would have been a pro by now.
Who knows? Probably.
You wouldn't have had as much fun.
The stories to tell, though.
I don't regret it at all. No. It was a great time of my life, and I wouldn't change it for the world.
Yeah, you got it out of your system, too. Now, talk to us about Chris Cormier, because I've gone out with Chris, so I've been with you guys. I know exactly what goes on. You got to give us like the best Chris Cormier story that you can like remember. A typical night of Chris Cormier partying.
A typical night of Cormier partying is first of all, he always find a way to have 2 or 3 girls like on his side
all the time.
And then as the night's going on, everybody's feeling good. You turn around and look up. This happened like twice. I look up. Chris is standing on top of the bar, pants down, posing. and you got to understand, at this time, this is when Chris was like around 270, 280. I mean, large.
Right, large.
And he just looks like this gigantic beast. On top of the bar, packed Sound Factory, on top of the bar, posing.
And no one's saying a word.
I would just shake my head, huh?
And no one said a word to him. No, nobody.
But I just wanted to tell him to come down. Nothing. He basically did whatever the hell he wanted in there. Yeah. Whatever he wanted. Well, some great times.
You remember, we would go to Vegas. I gotta remind Robbie. He's obviously not remembering. We would be in Vegas. We would go to the first club, whether it be Titus's party or one of those crazy parties. That would go to like about 2:30. Then there would be after hours at like another club.
Dre's was last.
That would be till about 4:35, and then all of a sudden, at that point, I'm falling apart. I'm going home. Then all of a sudden, they're like, "Oh, we got to go to Dre's to after hours," and then you go there till like what, about 7 in the morning?
Probably a little bit late. Yeah, about 7, 8 in the morning.
Then Chris went to another place. I never even heard of the other place because I never was able to last long enough to make it there.
You know what? Same here. Dre's was always my end. That's where I always finish off at Dre's.
Not Chris.
No. Well, man, Chris will go 24 hours.
And then he'll go right to a photo shoot too the next day.
And look incredible.
It won't stop. He didn't eat a morsel of food for 18 hours, and he goes to a photo shoot and the pictures are unbelievable.
Looks shredded.
That's just a freak of nature right there, I'm telling you.
Yeah, he's amazing.
And he's still pretty much doing that still today.
Is he really?
I talk to him from time to time. Yeah, he still goes out. He lives in Vegas and California. He lives in both places.
Right.
So come on. He can put Chris in that. I expect him not to go out.
Rumor has it he's going to do the show in Phoenix.
Yes, I spoke to him. What was it, maybe about a month ago, and he told me he was doing that. I know he's been back and forth training with Dorian out in England also.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So
Chris gets
I have no idea what he looks like, but Dorian's been kicking his butt.
Wow.
Well, you know, if Cormier must have it, he figures, you know, he's going to go back to what his formula for his greatest success was. And I guess that involves, you know, going out on a routine basis. That's his cardio, probably, you know.
Hey, whatever works for him, that's what works for him. I don't know. He's older. I don't think he'd be able to get away with that now. The body can't just take all of that.
You build up tolerance, though. I don't know. Chris is like, you know, it's like Triple H tells me he's got this friend, Remy, you know, who sings for that group. What's the name of the group that does that song for him, The Game?
I don't know.
This guy is like 65 years old. He still parties as hard as he ever did. And the doctors told him, if you stop doing all these drugs and alcohol, you'll probably die. That's what the doctors told him.
he's got no choice. He's got to keep going.
Exactly.
That's insane.
Now, Robbie, how did everybody knows you and King Kamali are good friends. How did you guys meet?
It was after one of the Night of Champions. Remember when they used to have that party across the street? I forgot the guy that used to.
Yeah, the
it's that gay thing, which I didn't even realize.
The gay guy, right.
Funny story. I walked in there the first time I was there, and everybody's like, "Oh, he's got food and everything." I walk in with three girls, and I'm looking around, and I'm like, "How come I'm the only one that has girls in here?" And I'm looking around, I had no clue. I had no idea. So what do I see? I see Chris Dickerson there. I see some other guy. I forgot who it was. But then I turned around, and then they told me what it was. And I was like, so I'm walking out. Right. And who's walking in the party is King. So he stops, and he shakes my hand. He's like, "Oh, Lopez, how you doing?" I'm like, "How do you know?" I was shocked. I've never spoken to the guy.
Yeah.
He's like, "Oh, I'm a big fan of yours, this and that." So I was like, "Oh, wow, that's pretty cool. Because here I am, you know, he just turned pro." I'm like, "How the hell does he know who I am?" And
everyone was
we started talking, and he offered to help me out for one of the USAs. So I was like, "Wow, you know," I took it as a compliment, and then we just became like brothers. We got real tight after that.
What's he like going out to? What's he like going out to a club with?
Very. He's not the king that everybody sees on. I mean, everybody reads about on the internet. He's very timid, very laid back. You know. Very, very, very timid. He just sits there, just people watches. You know, he's nice to people when they approach him and stuff like that. Plus, he's married now also, so his lifestyle. About once a year, we go out, we do a guy's night out, and we hit like a little hit posh or something like that, and you know, try to let loose. Which we did that about three months ago. We went to Pasha.
Yeah. Actually, Derek Anthony saw you guys there. He told me so.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't see him. Yeah. Oh my God. We ended up closing the place. Left there about 1 o'clock in the morning. Yeah. I was disgusted. I'm like, "Kid, how the hell?" I said, "I'm 40 freaking 2 years old, and I'm at this club till 11 in the morning." I felt horrible. But we had a good time, though.
You hated it to love it at the same time.
Oh, yeah. I mean, when I said we were literally the last ones out of there. Literally.
That's the most degenerate. Only the crackheads are like the last ones out of there.
I mean, the place went from being jam-packed, okay, and then we were literally, it was me, him, and one of his buddies' training partner. We were literally the last three out of the club. I'm like, "Why are we the last ones out of here?" I'm like, "What did we do wrong?"
or right. What did you do right?
Ah, God. Yeah.
Derek's imitation of King is priceless.
At that club.
But anyway, I'm sure you guys had a good time.
Yeah, it was. We always have a good time when we go out. Like I said, we try to do this every couple of months or so. You know, he's got a wife. I got a wife. He's got a kid. So, you know, can't live that lifestyle forever.
Right. Why do you think he hates me so much?
You really want to know?
Of course, you want to know.
Of course, I asked you.
I'm just gonna say one name, and it's a she. Well, I think she's a she.
Bethany.
That's why. That's what it stems from.
What?
I don't know the details. It's just she was talking crap and back and forth to her. Never anything with her.
What?
But that's what it's all. That's what it all stems from.
Because I banged her.
I don't know. I don't know how you got. Anyway.
Well, that's why he hates me.
That's the only interpretation that I take. Whenever he talks about you, it's she's involved.
And I've never publicly said a word about him that she's ever said. And believe me, she said a lot.
Robbie's all uncomfortable.
All right, we'll change the subject.
Anyway.
So, Robbie, what did you do for New Year's Eve? I know you're a DJ now. Were you working?
This New Year's Eve, no, actually, I didn't work this year. I just went to, believe it or not, very, very laid back. Just went to a house party. That was it.
Wow.
Well, stayed there till late in the morning, though.
A laid back house party.
I was just, it was just me, my wife, and a couple friends, and just, you know, just spent the New Year, you know, nothing really crazy.
Where are you spinning these days? Where, if people want to see you DJ?
I'm a resident DJ. It's called Lounge 11 in Hoboken on Madison Street, 505 Madison Street
in Hoboken. In Jersey.
Is it a good club?
Yeah, it's like a lounge / club. I mean, a bar, like a restaurant / lounge club. It's a big place.
Really?
It's very. That's probably one of the more upscale clubs in Jersey.
Yeah.
In Hoboken, I should say. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, do they get like? I mean, is it like a place where guys would want to hang out? I mean, the good looking girls there. I mean, what goes on?
You know, it's a very, very, very attractive atmosphere. I'm going to say age. Ranges from, I would say, maybe like 25, 35, but like, you know, people going to dressed up, you know, nobody's like all thugged out or anything like that. Mixed crowd, you know, Hispanics, white, black, mixed.
I mean,
well, it's a really, really good atmosphere. It's always, every Friday and Saturday, it's always pumping.
What's a better day, Friday or Saturday?
I would say Saturday's the better day out of the two.
And you'd spend the whole night?
Yeah, I'm there Friday and Saturday. Yep, do the whole night.
So if we brought
I'm there Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
Oh, wow. So if we brought the whole RX Muscle Whack Pack there, you think we'd have a good time then, huh?
Oh, by far.
Could you hook us up, a little VIP treatment?
Absolutely. Just say the word when you want to do it. No question about it. That'd be fantastic.
We're going.
We might want to do it this coming weekend. I think that's a trip that we have to do. You know, the community expects us to bring new and better things to them, and I think a night out at the Robbie Lopez Club might just do the trick this year.
You should videotape it.
Of course.
We're going to come. Absolutely.
What time is the club open? Until 4 o'clock?
Club's open until 3 o'clock. Everything in Jersey.
Unless
it's an after-hours spot. Everything is 2:30 last call. Everybody's got to be out by 3.
All right. We're booking a trip.
Unless it's an after-hours club, though.
I'll call you. Give me directions and hook us up. I appreciate that.
Absolutely. So I'm sure you guys will have a phenomenal time. It's a really, really good spot.
Cool. Looking forward to it.
Awesome.
Now, you're in your 40s now. You're over 40. You're going to be doing the Masters Nationals in 2010?
Definitely. I believe it's in July. Yes, I will most definitely be doing that show.
So ostensibly, this could be the year that we see Robbie Lopez with a pro card.
I strongly feel 150% in my heart that yes, this is going to be the year. Absolutely. I've been training my ass off. You know, I took some time off. Last year, I tried to compete last year. Everything didn't go too great with that. I didn't like the way I looked. But now I'm back in that old zone that I used to be in. With better results. So, yeah, I feel it's going to happen this year.
If you go straight through and without taking breaks and without, you know, missing gym time, I think it's a sure thing for you, really.
Yeah, well, normally, believe it or not, for as long as I can remember, I usually never trained November, December. Never.
Really?
I mean, I've been doing that for years. But this time, I went straight through.
I haven't
taken any breaks at all. So... that's why I feel a lot better. I feel like I'm so far ahead of the game right now. Yeah. So
flex wheeler used to do that. That's out. A flex wheeler thing you learned. And it only works for genetic freaks like him and Lavroni. Anyone else does it, it kills their whole year.
Ronnie Coleman, too. He's taking 4 months off.
Yeah, you know what? Listening to these guys doing it, I tried it, too. And plus, you know, I think of the holidays and all that stuff. Right. I'm like, yeah, you know. No, this time I trained straight through. I didn't take not even a week. Not even a week off.
That's smart. Very smart. Well, Robbie, you're always a class act. Always got some great stories. And like I said, we're going to take you up on your offer. I don't know if it's going to be this weekend or the weekend after, but we're going to see you at your club. What's the name of that club again?
The club is Lounge 11.
Lounge 11 in Hoboken, New Jersey. Robbie Lopez there Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday nights. If you want to check him out, go down there.
All right, thank you, Dave.
Robbie, thanks a lot, and we'll be in touch.
All right, Dave. Take care, John.
This is Heavy Muscle Radio, only on RxMuscle.com. ALR Industries. ALR Industries products are backed by 3 decades of experience in the science and lifelong dedication to bodybuilding from its founder, Arthur L. Ray. In 2001, ALR Industries was created to give the hardcore bodybuilder the edge you need to build the perfect beast. Hyperdrive 3.0 is a synergistic blend of fat-burning herbs which yields the most potent legally available formula on the market today. Hyperdrive 3.0 will burn fat, control your appetite, improve your mood and focus, and give you an energy boost you've never experienced. Restore blocks estrogen, enhances libido, and optimizes free testosterone. You'll be stronger, recover faster, and build muscle like never before. Then, fuel your workouts with the great-tasting and energy-enhancing Hyper Shot. Hyper Shot will boost your athletic performance to new levels, allowing you to train harder, improve your endurance, and get the most out of your time in the gym. Whining is not an option for those who refuse to accept mediocrity. Visit ALRIndustries.com today.
When you hit the gym, you set in motion a fundamental set of molecular activation signals and cellular growth mechanisms that deliver your desired gains in mass and strength. The magnitude of those processes, as well as how efficiently your muscles recover force production, can dramatically affect your net progress in a training cycle. Progenics protein supplements interact precisely and powerfully to amplify these pathways to produce enhanced growth responses of 100% or more compared to conventional whey protein sources. And they facilitate full recovery of force production in just 6 hours following the most grueling workout, allowing you to train harder, more frequently, for more dramatic gains. Experience the exclusive metabolic advantage available from Nature's Toolbox and Dr. Scott Connolly, renowned pioneer in applied dairy science and inventor of the original Metrex product. Go to ProgenicsSRG.com and use the code NBR801 to get 10% off the purchase of any single Progenics product.
When the world crumbles around you, will you be ready to fight back? Brutal Alchemy Performance Nutrition's unique line of supplements will help you win the war in the gym. Ancient Strength is a unique blend of 3 creatine esters which will infuse you with the ancient strength needed for the battle at hand. Isolation is a pure whey protein isolate that provides 26 grams of protein in every 29 gram scoop. Attack NO2 is Brutal Alchemy's nitric oxide booster that will increase your pumps and performance. After your battle in the gym, it's time for Onslaught, Brutal Alchemy's comprehensive post-workout drink, providing everything you need to suffuse your muscles, joints, and body with the components to heal, grow stronger, and return to the fray. And when it's time to conquer in the bedroom, you'll need Forged Steel, Brutal Alchemy's male enhancement product. Lead the charge to BrutalAlchemy.com to obtain the essential elements of your brutal transformation. Brutal Alchemy, it's better to be a member of the Horde than to be destroyed by it. RxMuscle.com introduces the cheapest and fastest growing discount supplement store on the net. DiscountSupplements.com. DiscountSupplements.com not only has the best prices on all of the industry's most popular products, but they also offer next day delivery for just $7.99. You heard right. For a flat fee of just $7.99, most orders arrive the next day at a price that simply cannot be beat. As a matter of fact, their prices and service are so good, we made them the official store for RxMuscle.com. If you haven't visited DiscountSupplements.com, what are you waiting for? Visit DiscountSupplements.com today. Plasmatic is the next generation of nitric oxide amplifiers. Plasmatic contains the clinically proven glycocarn and other exclusive cofactors to give you a better pump, extreme vascularity, and aid in both performance and recovery. Plasmatic is the only next generation nitric oxide amplifier that contains no L-arginine. Plasmatic's proprietary blend is manufactured using a state-of-the-art liquid capsule technology and lipomatic delivery. See Plasmatic today at your local vitamin shop or call us now at 866-GET-EST-1 or visit us on the web at estnutrition.com. Plasmatic, results guaranteed.
German, American technologies. Compete harder with GATT supplements. Need energy? Gotta lose the fat? Jet Fuel is the answer. Want to build muscle? Use Testogen to ramp up testosterone and start adding the size. How about some muscle exploding pumps and an enhanced training experience? You gotta get your hands on some Jet Fuel. GATT's newest nitric oxide training supplement that's guaranteed to work the second you try it. Join the team. Visit German American Technologies website now at TeamGAT.com. That's TeamGAT.com. German American Technologies. Compete harder. TeamGAT.com.
Who are the Iron Sirens? The heroes. Susie Curry. Adela Garcia. Jenny Lynn. Crystal Richardson. Who are the Dark Divas? Gina Aliotti as Diva X. Jen Gates as Shade. Liza Kamstra as Black Lotus. Sonia Gonzalez as Raptress. And their story is told only in Iron Sirens. Iron Sirens is a one-of-a-kind limited edition comic book series and is the brainchild of J.M. Mannion. Order your copy of Iron Sirens today before they're gone. Visit IronSirensComics.com. That's IronSirensComics.com to get your copy of Iron Sirens. Iron Sirens. Iron
Sirens. RxMuscle.com. Now you have a place to turn when you want the truth on bodybuilding, diet, and exercise. Up-to-the-minute news and more. Visit the RxMuscle.com forums featuring celebrity Q&As with IFBB professional athletes, top amateurs, and the brightest minds in the industry. Listen to our weekly radio shows, including Heavy Muscle Radio, Muscle Girls Inc., After Hours, and more. Contest coverage, videos, even our own social networking site, RX Muscle Place. Visit RxMuscle.com.
Heavy Muscle Radio.
Hey, this is Chuck Zito, and you're listening to Heavy Muscle Radio with Dave Palumbo and John Romano.
This hour of Heavy Muscle Radio is brought to you by Progenix. Visit ProgenixSRG.com.
All right, John, our next and final guest is none other than the notorious, one-of-a-kind guy by the name of three initials, BSA. Big Sean Allen, welcome, man.
Thanks for having me, guys. What's up, buddy?
2010, I hear you're a bigger, better, and kinder Big Sean Allen. Is that true?
You know, I'm just trying to be me, man. You know, I'm no different. I'm still the same individual, just a lot more mature, you know?
I don't know if I'm going to... I'm going to have to get used to a kinder, gentler BSA.
Come on, John. That's not hard to do, man. We all got to, you know, we all grow up once in a while, you know?
Yeah, but then we're no fun.
What was the precipitating factor that just made you decide to change your demeanor?
Well, going into the Nationals, I just had a different outlook on everything, you know? So that was the reason why I bleached my hair blonde and, you know, just was a wise individual. Just, you know, being in this sport 10 years, you know, you just, you live and learn, man. That's what life is all about. You know, you can't just keep being, you know, the same individual. You know, we all grow up, you know.
Hey, let's go back to the blonde hair at the Nationals thing, because when you showed up, I almost didn't recognize you. I thought you were Wesley Snipes from Demolition Man. What made you say, I'm going to make my hair white?
Well, it wasn't really, like I said, I didn't do that till basically I got in Florida. It was in the game plan to do, but I was a little itchy about it at first because I'm usually always coming into the shows bald and stuff like that. So I finally let my hair grow a little bit, you know, and we got to Florida, and, you know, with the weather being sunny and nice and, you know, with the beaches and stuff like that, I think it was a great opportunity, you know, blending with the atmosphere. So we took a chance, you know, and I got to the hotel room and wifey did her thing, and at first I was like, wow, that's a little bit too bright. I don't know if I'm ready for this, you know? But she was like, oh, no, it's all right. It'll go with it. So I just went with it, you know?
I don't know about the blending thing. I don't think BSA can really blend anywhere. You're not a blend. You're not a blending guy.
I did very well. I looked like I was getting ready to go surfing or something.
Or going to WWE. That's what it looks like.
Right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They had something similar to that look. Yeah.
Have you ever thought of pursuing that angle?
I mean, I have done it once before. Like I said, when Tough Enough had just came out. That's when it was interviewing guys and stuff like that to do the challenge and stuff like that. And we sent in a video, and they gave me opportunity to do it, and I didn't last it more than 2 weeks over there, and I had attitude management adjustments that I had to tend to, and I couldn't, you know, and like I said, they want me to travel 364 days of the year, me being a father. It's kind of hard, and like I said, those guys, you know, because back then I had that similar to Rock look, you know?
Right.
So I figured it was a good opportunity to go for it, and, you know, I went with it, but them guys, I was getting beat up, man, by big guys. That was like twice my size. They were just manhandling me, and, you know, I was like, man, I ain't got time for this. So make a long story short, they tried to do some things that I wasn't too comfortable with, and, you know, I took it back to the old BSA, and, you know, I retaliated, and, you know, lost that opportunity.
When you say retaliated, what are you referring to?
Well, you know, everything is choreographed and stuff like that, and, you know, we was going through the script, and the big boys just was taking advantage of me, and, you know, I just couldn't allow that, you know, me being...
He didn't want to play by the script, in other words.
So, you know, right. They contacted the person that I was dealing with and told me that, you know, he has all the potential in the world, but nothing's going to happen overnight. So I said, you know what, this ain't for me. And plus, like I said, these guys, they was manhandling me. It's just like, you got to pay your dues, you know. You're not going to just walk in here. You might have the Rock look, but it's like anything else. You got to pay your dues, you know. So
I think with your mouthpiece and your look to your physique, you would have been perfect. But you know what? You're right. Your demeanor has to fit that, because it is a job where you're on the road. And I know that you're not an absentee father. You're a father that's there for your kids on a regular basis, correct?
Yeah, that's full-time, buddy. That's no secret. That's my first and number one job. That's full-time. You know, John can relate to that.
Absolutely.
You know, not having that mother figure. So I'm basically the mom and the father. So
yep.
It's tough. But, you know, like I said, what keeps me going is that I came from a single-parent home. And never had that father figure, so I always said, whoever I have kids by, I'm gonna provide and do everything that I can do to make it work, you know. And it's been tough, but we're doing it, you know.
How many kids you got, Sean?
I got three, and two that's with me that I got custody of, and then my little youngest daughter, which is five, she's with the mother, but she's over here every weekend as well.
Cool. Now, are you married?
Nah.
No, man. So you're all it's just you and them.
Yep, just me.
Just like you, John.
You're just like me. Only I have one, man. I give you mad props, brother, for taking it in multiples, because I'm barely living with one.
Mine's just a little older. Mine's just, you know, a freshman and sophomore in high school. So, okay. You know, they're a lot older and, you know, more mature and they more easier to maintain. You know, but at the same time, I had them when they were Max's age as well, too. So
yeah, that's tough, man. 10-year-old boys are... They're a handful, bro.
Do they play sports, Sean?
Oh, yeah. My son's on wrestling right now. It's wrestling season, so he's into the varsity wrestling and stuff like that. So he basically goes through exactly what I go through with the diet and stuff like that. I mean, you got to cut weight, and you got to watch his food. You got to do cardio every day. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I just watched him yesterday. He had his hands full, went against one of the top guys in Jersey, and he got smashed.
Oh, you know? Man.
And it's tough being a parent, yeah. You know, because I walk into the gym, everybody's looking at me like, oh, my God, this big guy, you know, and you see your son get his butt whipped, and you got to sit there and just take it like a man, you know, because this sport is like, you know, like it's not a team sport. It's an individual sport. Mm-hmm. When they go out there, it ain't nothing dad can do. It ain't nothing the coach can do. It's all in their hands, you know.
Do you feel like when you're giving your son advice that it's almost like you're giving yourself advice sometimes?
No, because one thing that's different for me as a parent is that I'm not going to push my kid to be nothing like me. You know, he sets his own destiny. I just got it, you know?
Right, right.
You know, that's where parents go wrong. When you put too much pressure on the kid and try to influence him to be too much, they end up failing. It's better to just let him mold into the young man that he wants to be, and you just support him and, you know, guide him through it, you know?
Are they as big and as imposing as you are?
Nah, I mean, well, like I said, you know, when I was in high school, like I said, I was maybe 160, 145. I used to wrestle as well, you know.
Wow.
But I was big-boned, you know, but I just never had that structure to grow, you know, being tall and, you know, not having that father figure, you know, coming from a single-parent home. So, you know, times was hard, so I didn't have them calories and that quality food to grow, you know. And
gotcha.
We didn't really realize what we know today back then, you know.
Nutrition-wise, you mean.
Exactly.
What's BSA doing when he's not bodybuilding these days?
Well, when I'm not bodybuilding, I'm basically helping people achieve what I work so hard to achieve, you know, training clients, and that's what I do every day, you know.
Is that your full-time job?
Yep.
And what gym do you work out of?
I'm working, well, I got my, like I said, I was with this guy gave me an opportunity. He sponsored me, and, you know, he brought me in and let me just take over the personal training over there, which is in, like I said, Kingsbury, New Jersey. But
what's the name of the gym?
The gym is Ultimate Fitness and Performance Center. And right now I'm training over there in Apollon Gym, with over there, which is a hardcore gym.
Rob's gym, yeah.
So
Irina Vesalova.
I'm bringing everybody over there, but it's so easier for me to train people over where I'm at because it's only like five minutes away from home.
Sure, sure.
But with the scheduling, with this wrestling, I mean, the boy's wrestling 3 days a week, so, you know, being there for him to pick him up, being there to support him, you know, it takes a big chunk, you know. But so I'm basically working more during the day, and during the night it's all about me. My kids, you know.
What if people want to train with BSA, if they want to get at you as a trainer, what do you charge per session?
Well, like I said, you know, with the economy, based on the way it is, you know, it depends on each and every individual. You know, if you got an older person, you know, that's working on Wall Street, you know, you got to hustle, man. You got to do what you got to do to survive. But basically, you know, basically it's like from $50 to $100 per session, you know.
Okay. And how long does a session last?
An hour.
Right. That's pretty good. That's a pretty good deal with a big name like BSA. I mean, there's probably a lot of bodybuilders that might want to train with you too. What would you charge like one of them to train for an hour, say?
Well, like I said, well, if it was just like someone that's basically like me, like I said, it could go anywhere from 50 to 100. You know.
Gotcha. What about Jeff, the producer? Said he wants to hire you as his trainer.
Well, Jeff, the producer, is not on one of my good sides right now. So he tends to always got to get on there and get his last little laughs in, talking about yo, and all this crazy stuff about BSA. You know,
what do you mean?
That was my man. You know, he emailed me. He was cool and everything. He was supposed to do a CD for me. You know, for guest posting and stuff like that. And he promised me he was going to deliver.
Slacking.
You know, so, you know, me and Jeff is on a little, he's my man. You know, he's always been supportive. You know, he got a job to do, and that's how he makes his living, by getting laughs off. Just keep the laughs away from BSA.
So
the other side again.
So BSA has a sensitive side then.
Oh, yeah. We all do, man. Come on.
Now you let this stuff get to you.
No, I mean, I don't let it get to me because if it got to me, I would have been approaching to a man to man.
You would have been
the phone, you know, I'd have been like, "Yo, enough, man. This is the way it is," you know.
So what about him? Like, what bugged you? What are some of the things that kind of get under BSA's skin?
Well, one of the things, I mean, I'm not really the one to get really all uptight, you know. Being something 30, I'm over 30 something years old, you know, kids get uptight. You know, you in this world, you're going to always have haters, you're going to always have people, non-believers, you're always going to have people be judgmental and judge you accordingly and stuff like that. You know, with my size and my demeanor, I mean, I got to keep things in check because, you know, any little false, unnecessary behavior that I'm doing, you know, it can get me in trouble, you know. So
sure.
I got to proceed with caution, but little things that don't, you know, I'm basically laid back, man. Nothing really gets to me under my skin where
I think. Well, no, that's not true, because Jeff does get to you.
Nah, he doesn't get to me. I'm just saying, as far as
I've seen him get to you.
When?
Like maybe 30 times.
Yeah, right. He ain't even said my name 30 times. So how's that gonna happen?
I know, on the boards. I mean, you know, I know some of the impressions he does of you, which are really very
priceless.
Good. Priceless.
Jeff is my man. Jeff looked up to me, man. We had emails back and forth. You know, everything's good, man. You know,
so you would position yourself as a mentor to Jeff of sorts.
I'm not his mentor. I'm not around him enough to be his mentor. You
You're
know,
his
I'm
father.
Just someone that he can look up to as a taller athlete, being that he's fairly tall himself.
Oh, you mean look up as in literally look up, like look up high.
Yeah, exactly.
I thought you meant like look up to, like, you know, like as like a father figure.
Nah, not like that.
Just literally like
my kid, you know.
Just literally had to bend his neck back to look up at you.
Yeah, you know, just recognize.
Here's the question that everyone's got on their mind: is 2010, the new decade we're in here, going to be the year of BSA? Are we going to see you turn pro this year?
I mean, like I said, you know, I control my destiny. I was very happy with what I did last year. You know, and I'm continuing to strive. I can't predict what the future holds because I can control my destiny, but it's in the judges' hands. You know, they have a tough job that they have to deal with over 30 athletes in a super heavyweight class, and, you know, different looks and different things that come into play. All I know that I've definitely opened up some doors to give me some momentum to be one of the favorites to turn pro this year. I just got to, you know, not talk about it, but be about it.
Do you ever think at all in the back of your mind ever when, you know, you know how good you look and you get there and you're not bringing it? And do you ever think back and maybe there's something to do with maybe that time that you competed with PDI that sort of has maybe, you know, sort of cast a dark shadow on you? Do you ever feel that way?
I mean, you know, we all make mistakes and learn by them, you know, like I said. But, you know, sometimes I do look back and wish that I didn't do or say things that I have done with my career before, like from beginning my career when I was at the Olympia press conference and I took the mic and the podium and had words with Flex and the rest of the Olympian competitors and stuff like that.
That was one of your classic all-time
that was from the audience.
You know, but that's what paved the name. You know, that's what got my name out there.
It was fun.
You know, right. The press conference was very boring, you know.
You're right. You were the most entertaining part of it.
So, you know, that was the stepping stone to the career. But then, you know, there was some times where I had unnecessary behavior and, you know, I crossed over with Wayne D'Amelio. But, you know, like I said, our goal is to be a professional, you know. We work hard and that's what we strive for, and Wayne, you know, emailed me and gave me that opportunity, and at the time things wasn't going well for me. You know, it's just like business, you know. If you're working at 7-Eleven and you're making $5.75 an hour, and this guy you meet on the street owns a landscaping company and he wants to give you $15 an hour, are you going to jump or are you going to stay with someone that's been loyal to you?
I'm going
with the money, you know.
Right.
So that's basically what it was. It wasn't no smack in the face to Jim Mannion or Steve Weinberg and nothing like that. You know, being a father, like I said, I got to look out for me.
Yeah.
You know?
Right. In defense of you, Sean, though, I will say this. You do add a sense of levity. You do add a sense of excitement. And you do add a sense of bringing back a little bit more funness to the sport. I mean, that little outburst you had at the Olympia press conference back then, while some people took it very personally, I thought it was an act of genius on your part, actually. If people just wouldn't take themselves so freaking serious and they would have seen it for the entertainment value that you offered, everyone was writing about it. I mean, people were getting mad about it, but they were writing about it and talking about you. They should have just seen it as like as a gimmick to bring attention to what, like you said, would have been a very boring press conference.
Like I said, I didn't have no intention on pissing nobody off. I didn't even call anyone out, basically. All I said was that I was going to be one of the athletes that showed the world that a guy over 6 foot can make it in this sport, you know. Arnold have tried, Lou Ferrigno have tried, Paul Dillette have tried, you know, only a few have made it being over 6 foot. So right. I basically was saying, you know, that I'm here to stay, and I expect to be on that Olympia stage one day, and that's my dream, that I respected each and every one of them that was up there.
Right.
But, you know, they took it and made it 360-degree turn and just blew it all out of proportion, like as if I was just saying I'm the best in the world and no one can beat me. And,
but it was great. You know? It was, and people talked about it for 2 years after that.
At least. You're known in history for that. For that question,
and if you ever do get to the Olympia stage, it'll be phenomenal because you will have lived out your prediction. You know.
Yeah.
Well, I think you will. I predict. I'm going to go long BSA in 2010.
What show is the first show you'll be stepping on stage at?
Well, like I said, I'm not going to be rushing into anything, man. Like I said, I was very impressed with what Steve Weinberger had to say. You know, I was very impressed with that. I mean,
what'd he say to you?
I mean, you know, like I said, he said it right in front of Jermaine. He had me in the top four.
Okay.
You know, so that right there is something I can definitely grow off of and keep that as momentum and keep me pushing and striving, you know, because you know how it is, man. You know, this is a tough sport. It's very costly, you know. I mean, you to have to come and explain to my kids year after year, Daddy took, I made the top 10, but never the top 5, you know, it's very draining, man, you know, it takes a very big chunk out of the food off the table of these kids that I gotta feed, and, you know, my family, but, you know, I do it because I love the sport and I love to be competitive. I mean, I can't go play football, I can't go do nothing else, so this is the only avenue that I got to show these kids that I'm still alive, I'm still competing, you know?
Right. I think it shows them that the determination, with enough determination and desire, that you can achieve any goal you want. I think because when things come too easy, sometimes that's actually not a good thing for your kids to see, because then if it doesn't come easy for them, they want to give up right away. You're showing them that you never give up, and if you don't give up, you'll achieve all your dreams, you know?
Yeah, but you know how that is. You know, if you keep doing this forever and ever, sooner or later, you know, you're gonna put yourself into some things, some situation that you don't, whether it's selling a house or
well, you don't want to bankrupt
yourself,
like
sure. I said, you know, so I mean, you know, we do this for for gains, you know. And like I said, that's where I get out of it, because like I said, I may not win on stage, but I'm a winner off stage. Like I said, when I walked off that stage at the Nationals, I can't even tell you how many compliments and how much love I got throughout that whole weekend, you know. And for once, I was walking around with a smile on my face, you know.
You are. I noticed you did. Yeah. You did have a smile on your face,
and that felt good, man. That right there in itself was a win for me. Was a victory for me, you know. Like I said, you know, the guys that won, you know, Cedric, you know, my hat goes off to him. And he's a guy who fights for the country, you know. He puts it on the line day in and day out, you know. Not many people can do that, and he still brung a great package. And you know, the guy, you know, we exchange emails back and forth. When he got there, the guy was a nervous wreck. He walked into the athletes meeting. He was like, "Man, let me say, what's up, buddy? How you doing?" He was like, "Man, I'm nervous as shit." You know, and the show didn't even start. I said, "Man, you got to relax. Ain't no time." He's like, "No, this is my first time on the national stage." You know, and I felt good because I was able to share my experience with him. And overall, you know, it might have helped him. You know, he's moving on into the pro ranks, and God bless him. You know.
Right. That's definitely a big step on your part, Sean, because you always see everyone as a fierce.
I'm a competitor. I couldn't even have no words. Here's a guy I'm going against. You know, it's the heat is on. I can care less. Yeah. Good. Stay nervous. Hold more water.
I think you turned over a new leaf. I think your new outlook on life of giving back to people is gonna give back to you when you get up on stage.
You gotta give to get. That's right. The bottom line. You
gotta put it out there.
Backstage, you know, we were all laughing. You know, me and Abbas. He's another one that been in the game just as long as I have, you know. We were back there after that first call out. They worked this, you know, and I felt good, you know, because I was right there, right in the mix with Cedric. And then, you know, once they called us back out the second time, they start flipping us around, and you know. But you know, overall, I mean, all the athletes from the top six, we all was, you know, helping each other out. It was love, and that's very rare for me. Usually, I'm looking at guys like getting nothing, you know, like. But you know what? At the end of the day, we're all there for the same reason. We're there to win, and there shouldn't be no animosity or this one hating this one or this one's jealous of that one. You know, we're there for the same thing, man. You know,
yeah, you're right. Well, I'm looking forward to seeing you on stage. Have you picked a show yet or no?
Yeah, like I said, I'm looking at the Nationals at the end of the year. I'm just going to concentrate on one show and just keep training hard and see what I can do.
All right. Well, keep us updated. You know, you can call in any time. You know, you're always welcome here. We love BSA here at RX Muscle and Heavy Muscle Radio. And just like I said, don't be a stranger.
Yeah, and like I said, I just want to finish this interview off and just like I said, say thank you to you and, you know, the rest of the team over there. Y'all always been supportive of me, you know, and like I said, I know, you know, what y'all went through last year, and for y'all to be where y'all are today, y'all should definitely be commended for it, because like I said, you guys work countless hours. I've seen you in action. I've seen you and John, you know, y'all stick together, man. That's what it's about, bonding together and having that trust and unity, man. And, you know, you give back to the sport that many people don't, you know. And I'm very thankful to be part of that. And, you know, with that, I have to wish y'all nothing but the best in the new year. And I want to thank all my fans for their support, and Happy New Year.
Thanks a lot, right. Sean. That means a lot to us. Good luck, and like I said, keep us updated.
All right, thanks, bro.
Thank you, brother. Right, bye.
BSA, John.
Big Sean Allen.
I really believe that he's changed his mindset. His whole outlook on life has completely changed. It's not about me, I. Yeah. And the fact that he actually was able to sit there and comfort Cedric McMillan backstage, knowing that he was going to be competing against him and possibly losing to him, which is a big step for Sean.
Jeff's going to have to work on his material now and do a new BSA impression, because the old one just doesn't fit anymore.
But well, give him some time. But you know, I think, you know, Sean is like one of these guys that if you get him riled up, he still can become Sean. But I think right now he was happy with his placing at the Nationals. He's at a good point in his life. He's got some peace. He's got his kids. He's helping out, and I think that's important too. It gives him balance in his life. And you know better than anyone, it's got to be hard to make enough money to not only compete in bodybuilding, eat, and but feed your two kids, and then have time to bring them to wrestling and all the other stuff that goes.
Hey, man,
with it.
Like you said, it's a full time job, and you know it really is. You know, and when you have a full time job, it's another full time job, and really it's three full-time jobs, because you're really doing the work of two people, you know.
As
a parent,
as a single parent,
as a parent and a homemaker, you know, I mean, you know, there's no one else, no one's coming to my house and doing the shopping, much I'm sure Sean's the same way, or the cleaning or the cooking or you know, getting him up for school. So all of that stuff is, you know, adds to it. And to be able to competitive bodybuilder in the national level with all that going on, is is pretty incredible.
I bet Sean's got a girlfriend though that's helping out a little bit. I don't. I think he was trying to take a little too much credit, but I believe that he does a lot of you know the running around with the kids.
Let me tell you, it takes a very special woman to go into a situation like that, right? And feel like she's part of the deal. I'm like Sean said, they're number one. I always say that in the beginning, on the first date, you know, you're never going to be number one.
Right. That's tough.
And a lot of girls take that in, you know, and can't accept that.
Well, unless they have kids of their own, of course.
If they have kids of their own, yeah, they can appreciate that. And then
that's probably the best scenario.
It's the best scenario, or you know, a younger girl who wants kids, you know, maybe doesn't want to have them herself. Yeah, but I mean, you need to realize what you're getting into when you date a person with kids, because if they're a decent parent, those kids are number one.
And they have to be.
And if you're the type of person that doesn't like being number two, and a lot of women are like that, you know, it's not going to work.
I agree 100%. But like I said, I think I have good feelings about Sean for 2010. Yeah. I have a feeling that, you know, he might not win 2010, but I think he's moving up the ranks, and I think that's important. Hopefully he'll get some supplement sponsors, mm-hmm. you know, to put some good money up for him and at least help him pay the bills. Because I believe if BSA has the bills paid, he's good. You know, he's good for the sport. He helps market it. Like I said, I wish they can give him some more little roles to do, because he does add a lot of spice to what can be sometimes a boring sport. I mean, I know you and I are trying our best over here to create more entertainment, mm-hmm. and that's why I love having him on the show. But Sean's good for the sport, man.
Well, maybe we can get him an MD contract.
Yeah. I guess all he has to do is do a lifestyle video with him.
Yeah, well,
prior to the Nationals.
If any of the last five people we've talked about, he probably has the best shot, because he's you're a big freak like that.
And, you're right. Maybe we should go and have him, follow him while he's taking his kids out and stuff like that, and going to school and wrestling practice.
Try to get some good hype for him going into the show if he looks really good and really huge, you know. And
then we'll get an MD contract.
Yeah, so that'll help him out.
All right. We got to set up like an agency, because we got to start collecting some commissions on this.
We've helped so many people now get good paying positions over there. You know,
look, if down the road we ever have our own magazine, you know what, BSA is welcome to be a contributor, because that guy has got talent, and he's a definite entertainment entity.
I put him on the cover too. He's a monster.
Yeah, he's without a doubt. Well, John, we're out of time. It was a great show. We had three guests this week, so. You got three for the price of two. I want to thank Robbie Lopez, Troy Alves, and of course Big Sean Allen for stopping by. Till next week, remember, with Heavy Muscle Radio,
the truth hurts.
Heavy Muscle Radio is a presentation of RXMuscle.com, the truth in bodybuilding. Tune in next week at the same time for another round with Dave Palumbo and John Romano, only on Heavy Muscle Radio.